Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November 11th, 2019. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network, you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to National. Hold on. Yep, go to National. No, I'm sorry. Make a comment. You can send your comments to National. Questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. You can also get some information on joining us at National Liberty Alliance by going to nationallibertyalliance.org and clicking on our weekly conference call. If anybody, again, let me just repeat this one. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, that's questions, plural, nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off on our scripture reading last week in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. Chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. And last week we ended up with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed to themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him, that they might touch, if it were, but the borders of his garments, and as many as touched him were made whole. That was the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. Okay, Tonight, we're going to look at a government by consent. I know we've spoke about this in the past, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective. Let's see. I guess that's it. Okay. All right. Government by consent. Government by consent. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Declaration of Independence. If the people do not have a fundamental knowledge and personal control of the following concepts, they cannot have liberty: authority, jurisdiction, property, morality, spirituality, justice, domestic tranquility, general welfare, natural law, legislative powers, executive powers, judicial powers, law and equity, republic, real money, and political. If the people are ignorant to the Constitution, how can they know if their government servants are ignoring it? If our government servants are ignorant to the Constitution, did they lie when they took their oath to serve and protect the Constitution? If our elected and appointed servants need to consult an attorney who specializes in statutes and has zero knowledge of the Constitution, what does that have to say about the state of our union? Who's really running the show? It's not what we know that gets us in trouble. It's what we are convinced that we know that is not true that will injure us. People have an ignorant belief that liberty is the freedom to choose, while they are unaware that our daily choices are irrelevant, and relevant choices are stacked both politically and judicially. In fact, liberty is freedom from all law except that of nature's God. There is nothing more dangerous than a closed mind. Karl Popper. True ignorance is not the absence of knowledge, but the refusal to acquire it. Martin Luther King, Jr. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Epictetus, a Greek philosopher. It is impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. A revolution is coming. A revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can affect its character. We cannot alter its inevitability. President John F. Kennedy. We consent to government by binding our government servants down with the chains of the Constitution. This is simply accomplished by exercising the following two unalienable rights necessary for the preservation of liberty, aforementioned as freedom from all law except that of nature's God. Number one, we the people can control 100% of our political process by participating in the election of free and independent committeemen, who will require the candidate's knowledge of and obedience to the Constitution, and will remove them from office if they are in bad behavior by using their unalienable right to recall. Proper exercising of this unalienable right will result in the election of true statesmen that will serve the people instead of themselves. Two. We the people can control 100% of our legislators and judiciary by either participating in the administration of the juries or responding to the call to the jury assembly. Proper exercising of this unalienable right will result in just court decisions and prevent the exercising of unlawful legislation via our unalienable right of nullification, and will prevent unjust governments accusations against we the people. Our Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The preamble. Some people might say, I didn't participate, so how can we claim the Constitution gives my consent? We need to go back to the Federalist Papers, which are a series of 85 essays arguing in support of the United States Constitution. Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay were the authors behind the thesis, and the three men wrote collectively under the names of Publius. 77 of the essays were published as a series in the independent journals, the New York Packet and the Daily Advertiser, between October of 1787 and August of 1788. They weren't originally known as the Federalist Papers, but just the Federalists. The final eight were added later. Alexander Hamilton was the force behind the project and was responsible for recruiting James Madison and John Jay to write with him as Publius. Two others were considered, Gouverneur Morris and William Durer. Morris rejected the offer, and Hamilton didn't like Durer's work. Even still, Durer managed to publish three articles in defense of the Constitution under the name Filio Publius, or Friend of Publius. In 1789, the population of the United States was about 3.9 million. Obviously, 3.9 million people could not debate the particulars of our Constitution, which was ratified by our state legislators, who were elected by and represented the will of the people, who fought for independence and participated by following the published arguments, being the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist essays. To quote Thomas Jefferson, "We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate." So, as our founding fathers stated in the preamble, they secured the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Therefore, being responsible statesmen, friends, neighbors, countrymen, and parents, wanting the best for their children and their children's children, they, by the blessings of God, produced mankind's most significant document, second only to the Bible, written by men as God the Holy Spirit inclined them. The Constitution has only 4,543 words, including the signatures. The Bill of Rights has only 462 words. The Declaration of Independence has 1,458 words. And yet a supermajority of the people, including the public, our public servants, are totally ignorant of their contents and meaning. It is extremely disturbing that the people are so ignorant of their blessings of liberty, which has allowed our justice system to become unjust. Thomas Jefferson, the man who discovered America's freedom formula, warned us that the formula for freedom could be lost in one generation, and so it has. Jefferson said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for its citizens. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty." In U.S. history, anti-federalists were those who opposed the development of a strong federal government and the ratification of the Constitution in 1788, preferring instead for power to remain in the hands of the states and local governments. Federalists wanted a stronger national government and the ratification of the Constitution to help properly manage the debt and tensions following the American Revolution. Formed by Alexander Hamilton, the Federalist Party, which existed from 1792 to 1824, was the culmination of American Federalism and the first political party of the United States. John Adams, the second president of the United States, was the first and only Federalist president. Those who identified with Federalism as part of a movement were the main supporters of the Constitution. They were aided by a Federalist sentiment that had gained traction across many factions, uniting political figures. However, this does not mean that there was no heated debate over the Constitution's drafting. The most zealous anti-federalists, loosely headed by Thomas Jefferson, fought against the Constitution's ratification, particularly those amendments which gave the federal government fiscal and monetary powers. A sort of ideological war raged between the two factions, resulting in the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, a series of essays written by various figures, some anonymously, some not, for and against the ratification of the United States Constitution. Ultimately, Anti-Federalists greatly influenced the document, pushing for strict checks and balances in certain limited political terms that would keep any one branch of the federal government from holding too much power for too long. The Bill of Rights, the term used for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, are especially about personal individual rights and freedoms. These were included partly to satisfy Anti-Federalists. In conclusion, the Constitution included its foundational document, the Declaration of Independence, and its capstone Bill of Rights, was a well-thought-out and debated masterpiece, built around unalienable rights, and truly frees man to be what he was born to be, free and independent. Just laws. Government by consent necessitates that the people have control of our judicial, legislative, administrative powers and political processes. This can only be achieved and maintained by just laws. Just laws can only derive from the laws of nature's God and not men. Eventually, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom, and as a nation becomes corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Therefore, to avoid the extremes of despotism or anarchy, the only ground of hope must be on the morals of the people. Religion is the only solid base of morals, and morals are the only possible support of free governments. Therefore, education should teach the precepts of religion and the duties of man towards God. True religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness. It is hereby earnestly recommended to the several states to take the most effectual measures for the encouragement thereof. In the latter half of the 18th century, the people formed committees of safety throughout the colonies by which the American Revolution was born. These committees filled vacancies for the Continental Congress that served as the governing body of the United States during the American Revolution, that eventually gave birth to our republic by ordaining and establishing the Constitution that governs our government. These committees of safety, after the birth of our nation, morphed into the committeemen, who were elected within their election districts for a 2-year term. These committeemen would interview candidates to fill political vacancies and then circulate petitions within their respective election districts to nominate them on the ballot for the primary election, at which time the people voted for their candidates of choice to run in the election to fill the political vacancies. These committeemen, when necessary, circulated petitions within the election districts to recall elected officials when they were in bad behavior. And the term bad behavior in the Constitution is when an elected servant fails to honor the oaths. The committeeman process empowered the people at the grassroots to have full power to choose their candidates for a political office and to remove servants who fail to honor their oaths. This was the political exercise of government by consent, until, as George Washington had warned, a small but artful and enterprising minority of cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men subverted the power of the people, and usurping for themselves the reins of government, putting in place of the delegated will of the nation the will of the party, thereby obstructing the execution of the law and destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them up to the unjust dominions through unconstitutional statutes. Likewise, the grand and petit trial juries also empowered the people to have government by consent, through the removal of elected or appointed government servants who violated their oaths by way of indictment, when Congress failed to do their duty to correct the problem via impeachment. The trial jury, through the power of nullification, could also override any legislation that they believed violated the unalienable rights of the people. Until a tsunami of bar attorneys and judges, who have been taught to serve the will of the bar first, the will of the state second, and occasionally, if there is no conflict with the first two, their lulled to sleep client. These robotic attorneys question nothing, ignore the law of the land, enforce repugnant statutes, become lawless judges, have seized control of our juries, and have trodden our Constitution underfoot. In conclusion, the combination of these four unalienable rights of we the people that ordained the power vested in themselves being 1. The author of the law of the land, 2. The committeeman, 3. The grand and trial jurist, and for the trial jurist is the truest expression of government by consent of the governed that we the people declared by the Declaration of Independence, ordained by the Constitution, and ensured by resolve a Bill of Right. That is what we the people, through the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, are determined to reinstate at all costs. And only then, by consent of we the people, will America be great again. Jurisdiction and Authority. In 1776, our Founding Fathers set the cornerstone of our Republic by proclaiming all just powers and the people under common law, also known as natural law, and not the laws of men, as is with other republics. And by calling upon nature's God, entitled us to his unalienable rights, thereby creating a covenant between we the people and our Creator that cannot be broken but by his wrath. We need only look to our founding documents and our common law history to learn how the people can be restored to power. The common law demands that we the people stop thinking like slaves that we were and start thinking as the freemen we were meant to be. This requires a maturity within us to educate ourselves via Jefferson's suitable education that will give us a true understanding of liberty, again being free from man's law to accept the responsibility for our own actions and to recognize and acknowledge the rights of others to exercise liberties that we may or may not agree with. This maturity is both a stumbling stone that many fall upon because of ignorance and a prerequisite to understanding the exercising of true liberty. The attitude that we need the state to restrain people's behavior is repugnant to God and is precisely what placed America's liberty in jeopardy in the first place. This was a direct assault upon our Bill of Rights, enabling the construction of a statutory prison that has enslaved us all. We have never stopped sin by passing laws, and in the same way, we are not going to take great moral ideals and achieve it merely through law. Dwight D. Eisenhower. It is here where a proper education and a moral compass play their role. Thomas Jefferson said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." Liberty demands that we do not permit the state to legislate our behavior. We the people, by the power and the authority vested in us by God, ordained the Constitution for the United States of America, therein creating three branches of governments, whose only commission is to accomplish six primary directives. 1. To form a more perfect union. 2. to establish justice. 3. To ensure domestic tranquility. 4. To provide for the common defense. 5. To promote the general welfare. And 6. To secure the blessings of liberty. Any legislative, administrative, or judicial action at any level of government that does not accomplish or support one or more of the aforesaid directives is without authority, and thereby null and void. Framework of all government authority and jurisdiction, and his capstone Bill of Rights, being the judge of all acts, is the law of the land, and is not to be violated. These founding documents clearly define the order by which all authority flows. 1. The laws of nature's God. 2. Laws of we the people. And 3. Lawful acts of government. Any act of legislation, administration, or judicial that cannot trace its authority back to the Constitution is an unlawful act, and the proper remedy against any such act is nullification. The highest authority is the sovereign governor of the universe, the creator of all things, and whose jurisdiction is eternal, even the very souls of man. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 12, nature's God said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the raising of the sun and from the west that there is none other beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness bring us together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, nature's God vested man with authority over his creation, where he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living creature thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every living beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. In 1776, We the People, via America's foundational document, the Declaration of Independence, covenanted with nature's God, acknowledging his jurisdictions, his laws, and entitlements in return. In 1789, We the People, by the aforesaid authority vested in us by God, ordained and established the Constitution for the United States, which is the law of the land, where we said, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Therefore, considering the covenant, authorities, and jurisdiction this republic is founded upon, it is of no surprise to us today that God raised up a type of Cyrus in President Trump to bring judgment upon the evildoers operating in the mire that has seized control of his city on the hill. Thomas Jefferson echoed, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." And God promised that judgment would come in the fullness of time in Isaiah 14, verses 21 through 27, where he said, "Prepare slaughter for his children," that's Satan's children, "for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will raise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and will cut them off from Babylon, the name and remnant and the son and the nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burdens depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There God is sovereign, the author and source of the law of nature. In America, we the people vested by God are sovereign and the author and source of the law of the land. Sovereignty means that the decree of the sovereign makes the law, and foreign courts, also known as statutory courts, cannot condemn, influence, or persuade the sovereign to make the decree. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative, and the state cannot diminish the rights of the people. Supreme sovereignty is in the people, and no authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizens of this state, but such as it or shall be derived from and granted by the people of this state. We the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. We the people vested Congress with statute-making powers. We the people defined and limited that power of statute-making. We the people limited lawmaking powers to ourselves alone. We the people did not vest the judiciary with lawmaking powers to control our behavior. In common law courts of justice, we the people are the judicial tribunal, having the attributes and exercising the functions independently of the person of the magistrate designated generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of natural law. The constitutions of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, as in electing their functionaries, executives, and legislative, and deciding by a jury of themselves both facts and law in all judiciary cases in which any fact is involved. In our republic, it is not lawful for government to exercise power without authority and jurisdiction to exercise that power. In law, authority gives permission and control over a defined jurisdiction. In America, the people are sovereign and have the authority over their created government. The very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to legislative law, for it is the author and the source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts, and the law is the definition and limitation of power. Okay, we have a constitutional crisis, and unless the people step up and learn consent of government, the things that they need to know to take control of their government, we're going to lose all things. You know, Congress is just totally out of control, totally ignorant to the Constitution. And to some degree, they want to be ignorant on purpose, you know, especially what the Democrats are doing. And I hate to make this a party thing, but at this point, it seems like the entire Democratic Congress has decided, except for two, okay, has decided to go forward with this insanity. And this was not unforeseen, though. I mean, anybody really paying attention to what's going on, you know, it's not unforeseen to us. It's not a surprise. And it's to some degree, this is a trap. I mean, if we really, again, pay attention to what's happening. But nevertheless, it does demonstrate these people's understanding of who we are as a people, what our heritage is, what is liberty, and what our constitutional is. I heard some individual, I'm not sure whether they were a commentator or an elected person. I just had the impression that they were someone elected. I didn't know who they were. But they made a comment concerning the rightfulness of this going after the president to impeach him, and tried to quote the part of the Constitution where such authority is given. And they kept going back on some words, trying to figure out what words to use. I mean, the entire thing of what was said was totally had nothing to do with the Constitution, but that's how bad it is. And no one corrected them, and nobody knows. Nobody seems to know. They don't really seem to know. They continue to think we're a democracy. They continue to tell us we're a democracy. And again, we are going to perish for lack of knowledge. We're destroying ourselves. You know, it's not so much that they're destroying us. We're destroying us. We're allowing them to do this. If the people understood and knew the Constitution, this could not go forward. If people had control of these people that were out of control, and remove them from office either by indictment or you know, would the committee men come and recall them, we wouldn't have these problems. We wouldn't have politics. We wouldn't have to deal with my group is bigger than your group, and we deserve more liberties or more special, you know, a special liberty or special things above another group, because that's what politics is. One group trying to lord over another group and trying to get that, seize that power in order to, you know, suppress the other side and put forward their position. There is no position in the political process of the United States where anybody needs to push anything. They are to exercise the Constitution, exercise the authorities and the jurisdictions. There is no room for anything else. If they feel that there is a something needs to be added to the Constitution, then they just talk about it and debate about it and go about the proper process of doing it. You know, all this insanity destroying our Bill of Rights. And we go into our courts. The courts are totally, totally, we have such a constitutional crisis. I don't think people realize how bad it is. We still have the opportunity to save it. But nevertheless, you go into our courts, there is no court of law. There is not even a court of equity. They don't exist no more. That's the law of the land. And people can't even recognize that the law of the land is no longer there. That they're under some unknown jurisdiction and being applied a civil law of unknown things and unknown consequences, and we don't even know which way the court's going to go, from right or to left. And I don't mean right or left like they talk about, you know, the right side is the Republicans and the Democrats and the left side, and this is, you know, this is socialism and this is communism. I'm not talking about that. They have no clue. And nobody's correcting them. No one's saying anything about it. It just goes on and on and on. Only the people can save America. So we have that opportunity. There is a power vacuum being created in Washington, D.C. as we speak. The deep state is being taken down. Things are going to happen on a grand scale very, very shortly. Even, you know, and our monetary system is going to make a serious adjustment to return back to gold and silver. The Fed's going to be shut down. IRS is not going to, is going to cease to exist. But that's not saving the nation. That's all the president can do, and the patriots that are fighting along with him can do to bring it back there to that point. But then who fills the power vacuum? And I can tell you, they will fill the power vacuum, and we will be back to just where we left off at some near time in the future. It's only a matter of time. That's all it is. Maybe a generation or two, 20, 40 years or whatever, and they'll be back to the same old thing again, and we'll be back to destruction and back to where we are today, and maybe even worse, because they would have learned from their lessons. And that's what's going to happen unless the people step up and take control, take consent, get the word out. The people must become committee men. That's just the beginning. Take control of our political process. I'll tell you how simple it can be. And I don't want it to be this simple. It needs to be more than this. But we can take back the political process with one person in every state. Just one. We can do it. Of course, we have to win back the courts and then apply our right to, as committeemen, as elected committeemen, and apply that right through the courts and force the states to be obedient to that. That's no problem. Once we take the courts back, that's not a problem at all. But we can save the nation through the political process by the committeemen, with just one elected committeeman in every state. Right now, there are five people in every single state that control each state. They decide who's going on to the ballot and who's not. And, of course, they take their orders from someone further above them. So 5 times 50 is what? 250 people that are really making the political decisions on who's going on to the ballot. And we, the people, need to be doing this, not them. They have an agenda. They have a list of people. They want the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. They don't care who gets elected. It's irrelevant. Each side just pushes it further and further away from liberty, further and further away from our Constitution, further and further into tyranny and suppression and depression. But we can do it. We need 250 people. We need 5 people in every state. We really can use 5 people in every county, or at least 1 person in every county. But we can do it with 5 people in every single state. That's what we need, 250. You don't want to send 1 person in to try to take a state back. You see, because any position, any vacancy within the committeeman process throughout the entire state can be filled by those who are leading that process. And right now, there are 5 people leading that process in every single state, and they don't have the authority to do it. They are unelected. There are no committeemen. They don't exist. We've been seized control of by private associations, 2 of them, one called the Democrat Party and the other one called the Republican Party. They are the people that control our whole process. And they will never recall an individual. Oh, they may recall an individual if they get away with it, if they're doing the right thing. But they will never recall an individual in office. But we can control it Because if we become an elected committee man, that one person can fill every seat in the state. Every single committee man seat can be filled by that one person. That person can make all the decisions and decide everything. And of course, you know, we don't want dictatorship. We want to empower the people. You know, get rid of the party bosses, take in the people that are serious about what they're doing, empower them, train them, teach them, bring them to the Constitution. It is a wrongdoing for an individual to become a committee man and not know the Constitution. You know, how are you going to decide who to put into office if you don't know the Constitution? How are you going to know if they know the Constitution, the people you're going to put onto the ballot? How do you know if you don't know the Constitution? So it's a wrongdoing if an individual becomes a committee man and doesn't know the Constitution to go make these constitutional decisions for our nation. This is where the politicking comes in and destroys us. It's destructive. But anyway, sending one person to every state is not right. It's a big job for one person. We need at least five people, bare minimum five people. But I'd like to get 105 people in every state, 405 people in every state, whatever we can get. And then we train, we teach the people that are in the process right now. We call them in for the vote. We say, hey, look, we're going to appoint you to the position. But before you can take that position and make any decision on who you want to support for whatever elective office is up for that particular year, you need to know the Constitution so you can quiz these people on the Constitution. We can get constitutionalists in there. We can get rid of the politicking, and we can get back to the business of a nation. So it's not a wrongdoing for us to require that. And that we can tag on and require to anybody who we give them the ability to make a vote. Okay? We could tell them, you learn the Constitution, come take the course, now you can get your vote. You can question the individuals. And we want to encourage people to do that and train and teach them how to become an elected committeeman the next time around. But we need at least five people in every state. And again, one person in every county is better. Now, we announced for the committeeman process, what, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I don't remember whether we put the page up there a week ago or 2 weeks ago, but it's been up there a couple of weeks, I think, but even a week ago. We've announced it 2 weeks ago at least. It's been up there at least a week, maybe two. I'm pretty sure it's two. And I think we have four people who have volunteered so far. So that tells me people aren't interested in saving this nation. That tells me people aren't interested in learning the process and taking back control of our country. President Trump cannot do it. It's an impossibility for one man to do it. It's an impossibility for a man and the military and these people are in office to do it. They can't do it. They can put it back on the right track. Obviously, they're doing that. But we have to take control. If the people don't take control of the political process, then they will take care of control of their own political process, and they will serve themselves. If we don't take control of our judicial process, then the judges, as they have done, will take it back. How can it possibly be that they have created a rule, rule number two, that has gotten rid of the Constitution? Constitution is null and void, does not exist in this court no more. Don't bring it up. They get rid of the Bill of Rights, part of the Constitution. They ignore the Declaration of Independence, ultimately part of the Constitution. It's the contract, the agreement, the beginning, the foundation of this nation. All men are created equal, endowed by our Creator, under the blessings of His liberty. How can it be, with the stroke of a pen, the writing of a rule, one simple rule, if it's two sentences long or three sentences long, it's long, rule two. Constitution is out. Civil law is in. They have combined what the Constitution calls law and equity. That's the jurisdiction that we prescribed for this nation, law and equity. And they have taken law and equity and decided to make it, to bring it together, to fuse it together, to bring water and oil together, okay? Because law and equity is two different animals altogether. they have fused it together. Because after all, common law is too unjust upon the people. They actually said that. And no one's paying attention. How come no one noticed that the courts have changed, that the rules have changed, and that the law is gone, and that equity is gone, and there's chaos in the courts? How come no one noticed? Are we that deep in sleep? Look at the people here that come every Monday night to this program, and the people who listen to this program over our radio program, and the people who download the program to listen to it during the week. You are the people that are going to save this nation or not. It's that simple. There's no place else. I challenge anybody to find another place that is teaching what we are teaching and revealing what we are revealing. Studying and digging deep to understand what went wrong, what how should it really be, and what can we do to fix it. And we found those answers. We've put it on our website. We put it in our courses. Two courses we have will give every person that is an American citizen, every one of the people should have taken at least those two courses. That's the bare minimum for we the people to know. And with that knowledge in those two courses is enough to take control of this nation and truly have a land of liberty, a land of freedom, a land of the people. Because people are still being thrown into jail, into dungeons, without due process, every single day. And they are ignoring habeas corpus. After all, they've abrogated habeas corpus too. They got rid of the Constitution. Article 9 is gone. But that's not there no more. You know, your Bill of Rights, you don't have a right to a common law court no more. That's gone. It's done. You don't need it no more. It's done. It's finished. And we live with that. We allow that. Why? Why are we letting them do this and continue to do this? I'll tell you why. Because we're ignorant and we don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. We don't know what they're doing. But we certainly will find out if we continue in this deep sleep that we're in and don't get up and do something. Everybody has a responsibility to take on this committee man process now. Everybody, whether you're becoming an administrator or whether you can't become an administrator, that's fine. Everyone needs to become a committee man. It's less than 40 hours a year of time. Less than 40 hours a year. The time you might get the most at, well, look, I don't think it's ever any more than 40 hours a year. You know, you come together once in the beginning just to organize and prepare yourself for the necessary divisions in the political election, the subdivisions that are involved, and plan for when you're going to be meeting in order to interview people for elective offices, what offices is coming up this year. It's just a time of organization. So you get one or two meetings organizing. And then the next groups of meetings is around the election, where you have the privilege, the opportunity to be able to question these people that we complain about and do nothing about getting rid of them. We have the time to question these people. Who the heck are you? What do you know about the Constitution? What do you think about our Second Amendment? We need to know these things. And we need to make sure that they know. You don't know the Constitution? Well, we need to tell them, well, look at this. Go learn the Constitution and come back and we'll reconsider you for office, because until you do that, we're not putting you on the ballot. You see, they can't get onto the ballot without the people. But right now, it's them putting themselves on the ballot. They got total control over it. We have the opportunity to take it back this year. And between this year and next year, the election is next year. So we have the opportunity to prepare for this year and to take it back next year. Because the swamp is being drained and someone has got to fill the power and the authority that is going to be a void for the selections of the people who we elect for government, whatever positions they may be. Same thing in our courts. You know, we need more administrators. We've only got a little over 1,000, maybe 1,100 administrators. But we need 15,000 administrators to take the entire nation back. People need to volunteer for this. And yeah, we'll get them eventually, and we'll get them pretty quickly after after, you know, we take back and the courts and get into the courts and start moving through the process. But we need to be ready to take those positions. We shouldn't be in a position where we say, okay, now we could take it back, but okay, let's hold off 3 months because all these people have to get educated first, because it's a wrongdoing to have these people in those positions that don't have an understanding of those positions and the power and the authority that they have and the duty that they have and how things work. Nothing difficult, but you still have to know how it works. It's up to us to save America. Only the people can save America. The question is, are you going to do it? Is everyone going to get up there and put their name in there and become a committee man next year? It's a 2-year commitment. And again, it's a great rewarding job. You have the opportunity to truly choose who you want to put into office and then require them only to obey the Constitution. We need not support any political idea, ideology, nothing. We don't forget about all that. We got the Constitution. We got something far better than any political ideology, than any position, conservative or this or that or whatever you want to call it. We've got the perfect system set up. It's called the Constitution. Let us be constitutionalists. Let us enforce the law. Let us require them to exercise the law and not come out of their jurisdiction. There's no need for them to be talking about gun control. That person, all these people talking about gun control, these two senators here in New York should be recalled. If I was a committee man with other committee men in this state, I'd be pushing for those people. So to take them out, okay? These two people, to our two senators here in New York, are pushing and have been pushing ever since they've been in office to get rid of our guns. Who are these people? They rose their hand up and they took they swore that they would obey, defend, and support the Constitution. And then they go and they immediately not just attack the Constitution in the body of the Constitution, but the add-on part of the Constitution, which is the most important part of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I heard Hillary Clinton say, and nobody corrected her, that, yeah, there's a Second Amendment, but it has restrictions. It has restrictions? Show me where the restrictions are. Because we, the people, gave them no place for restrictions. They are underneath the Constitution. We the people are above the Constitution. We the people that ordained and established that Constitution for ourselves and our posterity. But we let them get away with this all day long, calling us democracy. You're going to civil law, to civil courts. They got criminal courts and civil courts. None of these things exist in common law. It's no part of common law whatsoever. And again, they've gotten there because of our ignorance. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never, ever, ever will be. So we need to gain the knowledge. We need to spend the time. And we need to get our children. You know, there's so much work for us to do once we gain control. We have to straighten up our schools. It's going to take a generation to get rid of all this socialism that has been embedded in our own children or our grandchildren. They're all little socialists running around and you don't even know it. Because we let them do it. Because we're not paying attention. Go to your kid's school. You know, as far as I know, here where I'm at, the kids don't have books no more. You know, they get their papers off the internet. They go home. Parents don't get the chance to see what the curriculum is in a particular subject for that particular year. Be able to breeze through, you know, the textbook and see what's going on here. They have no opportunity of doing that. And none of the parents are paying attention on a daily basis to see what the kids are learning in school. So they don't look at their books. They don't know what's going on in school. And your children are being raised to be strong, powerful socialists. You're going to destroy this nation of ours. And it doesn't matter what Trump does. If we let that to continue, if we don't take back our political process, we don't take back our judicial process, we don't take back our education, we don't educate ourselves and encourage others to do the same and make sure that our children are learning the right things, if we're not going to do those things, can't save this nation. Can't happen. We'll have maybe a few years of greatness and niceness and money and all this other stuff, but it'll all fall away because the people didn't care. It's time for us to care. Step up. Everyone needs to get up here at NationalLibertyAlliance.org, and you need to go up and sign to become a committee man. You need to take back this nation. And again, I say this to administrators as much as people who are not running for administrators. And you know, and people who have a job and work and happy with what they're doing, they should stay with that job. You know, nobody is requiring them to leave their jobs. But people who are looking for a better job, a better opportunity, you know, a very rewarding job, then you want to sign up to become an administrator. You want to be trained to become an administrator. The beginning of that training starts with the two courses we have. And the beginning of becoming a committee man, the training for that starts with the two courses we have. You need to be enlightened on all of the things and the problems and the situations, and understand the political offices and so on. And again, only the people can do this. So anyway, if anybody wants to go sign up to become a committee man, highlight Sovereigns on the blue bar in the top right-hand side of a website towards the right side, and come down and click on Become a Committee Man. Okay? And in there is this, basic information on what you need to do to prepare for that process and getting into the course. And you sign up for your election district. You know, we will help you find your election district. There is a page that leads you as you go from the first page to the second page. It'll show you how to find your election district through your 9-digit zip code. That identifies your election district. And all you need to know is your zip code and your address, and they'll tell you what the other 4 digits are. When you put that in, it'll seal your place in that particular election district. If 2 or more people are running in the same election district, then we can shift them over into a district next door, because you can go to any district within your town. But in any event, people need to become committee men. They need to sign up. And this is where you do it, to prepare for it. We are creating PowerPoint videos. One of the PowerPoint videos talks about the committee men, the powers and the authorities. And we've already done this live, but we're going to put a video up there on these pages and really get into the details of the power and the authority of the committee men. Then we're going to put a second video up there on how to fill out the designating petition to become a committee man, which only requires people to get anywhere from 2 to 20 signatures within their election district, depending on how many people are in your election district. It's only 5%, and so 5%, you know, and the maximum is about 20. I think the maximum is 400 people in an election district. So, but in any event, you know, when I ran, I only needed 8 signatures. I got 10, and that's all you need. It's not a big deal. You get to go out after work one day, and in one evening, you can get all your signatures. So it's not a big deal to get to this position. But anyway, we will teach you where to get your election list, how to get it if they refuse to give it to you, where to file your designating petition, and what you can do with it if they refuse to file it. Doesn't matter. We got ways to get around their wall of resistance, okay? And we will lay that all out in another video. And then the third video we'll do, and we may do more than this, but I'm thinking of only 3 at the moment. The third video we will do and put up there first we have the election law. Okay, we have 50 states. Every state has their own election law, but generally speaking, a lot of stuff is the same from one state to another. They put it together. You know, it's still the same because the office is, a person running for, a congressman or whatever other office they may be running for. It is no different than any other state running for an office that may be on the federal level. And the state level is, again, the same thing. You got two houses in your state. You got a governor and so on and so forth. So they're all the same. But we will find the language. We're starting the research now. We're gathering together the information to get the research together so we can answer and respond to every state according to their own rules. Okay, a lot of them do it at different times of the year. So we need to discover those times of the year and plan it. So this one, people running in this state will have to run between a certain dates. It's a six-week window, by the way. That's what it is here in New York. I'm sure it's the same thing everywhere else. You got 6 weeks to gather your signatures. 6 weeks. So if you only need six signatures, you go out once a week, get one signature, you stop by someone's house, you get a signature. No big deal. In any event, we will lay out what the law is for your state, and we will be here to advise people as they go through the process. And again, we know we'll be met with resistance. Most of the resistance will be caused by ignorance. Today, I'd say I think most of it's caused by ignorance. And that's okay. We've got a way to get around it, and we'll lay that out. But people need to participate. They need to pay attention and learn the process, and especially during that time period, to make sure they get their signatures during that time period, the six-week window, and that you file it before a certain deadline, a date, the end of that 6 weeks. It's got to be filed. And again, if they reject your filing, we got a way to get around that. We can force it through. And we'll cover all those things. So those three videos will be very important to learn in order to learn the process. Okay? One, power and authority of the committee man. The second one is knowing how to fill out the designating petition properly. And the third one, of course, is understanding the election law in your state, when the dates and the deadlines are. It's very, very simple. And again, we will be here to help anyone who runs into trouble and what to do here or what to do there. And that's what we're here for, our Monday night meetings, to give that kind of advice to people. Of course, the other thing the committee men need is to take the two courses. Why? Because it's a wrongdoing for you to take that position and not know the Constitution well enough to be able to quiz these people who claim they want to be your statesman somewhere. They're gonna represent you. We will take down and get rid of all of this funny money that goes out of Washington with all these special interest groups. Okay, all of that is unlawful. It's called a bribe in my book. I don't think it'd take much to convince anybody anywhere that it's a bribe. I mean, just think about it. We send someone to Washington to represent us, to represent our needs, our will, and ultimately to represent us as far as the Constitution is concerned, to make sure that they're exercising and applying the Constitution. And so we expect them to vote constitutionally. We paid for that. We give them the money to support them, and we gave them our vote, and then we sent them to Washington. And what do? They go out and get that bribe. They get the special interest groups that say, hey, we'll give you $50,000, and we'll figure out how we can get it to you without, because we can only give so much, but we can work with this trust here, and we could do this here. Whatever it is, however they work it out, I really don't care, but the bottom line is they're taking money for their vote, and the vote does not benefit we the people in any way, shape, or form. It benefits them. And that's what's going on. And we should know about it, and we should stop it, and we can stop it. Well, we can straighten this whole mess out inside 1 year. 1 year of getting into the process, in 1 year we can straighten this whole mess out, and we can start getting our children properly educated in the schools, requiring a proper education, as Jefferson puts it. And bring this nation back on course. But that's where we're at. Okay, Jan, I guess we'll move over. Got any questions or anything, announcements?
Yes, I have one announcement. We did get enough members together, so we had attendance and a table at the Red Pill Expo and I was hoping to get Dan Scadams on tonight to talk about it, but I think he's still driving back. It's about a 1,000-mile drive for he and his friend. So maybe next week we can have a report from them on what transpired. It should be very interesting. Other than that, I have several questions. If you're ready for questions.
Yep.
Number one, I would be interested in a committee man position in my home county. However, I rescinded my voter registration, realizing the fraud of the whole election process and the status of the voters. Is a committee man required to be a registered voter?
Absolutely. You got to be a registered voter to vote to begin with. And you don't have to be registered a Republican or a Democrat or some other party to be registered to vote. But you do have to register to vote just to register to vote. And there is a deadline for that. The deadline is sometime next year. In some states, earlier than others. So there are some states, I think, in January, February, they actually require certain things. So if you're not registered to vote, now is the time to get registered to vote. It's very simple to do. You could do it right online, as a matter of fact. Just Google it. They'll find you. Find out how to do it. Very simple. Filling out a form. It doesn't matter whether you register as a Republican or a Democrat. We got to take both parties back. So we need people in the Democratic Party as much as we need people in the Republican Party. So if you're already in a Democratic Party, don't leave it. Stay with it. Let's take it back. We need to take both parties back because we need to fuse them back together and get rid of the politicking. We got to get rid of the party squabbling, the party disagreement. Everybody is for the party, the party, the party, the party. Never for the people. George Washington was absolutely crystal clear on this problem. Go read George Washington's farewell address. He explains it very, very clearly. We've written the key parts of this in some of our papers and some of the things we've been studying and reading and talking about on a Monday night program. We've spoken about what George Washington had to say about parties. And he was crystal clear. He said that they are going to destroy this nation. That's what they are going to do. And he was right, wasn't he? Look what they're doing in Congress today, my goodness. They will destroy this nation. He was absolutely crystal clear with that. Jefferson, on the other hand, he thought it was the judges. He was crystal clear the judges are going to destroy this nation. Well, guess what? They both were right. Because between the judges and these people, the parties, they've destroyed it. These are private associations. They're not part of our structure of government. It's not part of who we are. So anyway, if you're already a Democrat, I would suggest not to change. Stay with it. Take the committee man process on that level within your state. If you are unregistered, or let's say you're registered and you didn't register with a party, you can't become a committee man unless you register with the party. And you can only become a committee man for the party you register in. So, don't think that because you're registered you can do this. You cannot do it, at least not right now. At a later point, maybe we'll change things, and I think we need to change things. We have to think this out a little further on how we can restructure this part of it. How did our founding fathers do it in the very beginning? That's what we need to find out. But in any event, we need to get as many committee men as we can. So go get registered if you're not registered. If you are registered, make sure you belong to one of the two parties. If you're in the Conservative Party or the Constitutional Party or some other party, go change parties for this because they have no power, no authority. Their committee man process is totally irrelevant to our political system process. Totally irrelevant. No power, no authority, no push, no nothing. They may think they do, some of these people, and they're building, they have none. Go to the Board of Election and see who's there. On the right side, you got the Republican Party controlling the Board of Election. And down the middle, there's a line or a wall or something. I know in one place I saw an actual wall, a 3-foot wall separating the two sides. And on the left side, you got the Democrats. Where is the independent parties? Where is the conservative parties? Where are the other parties? They're not there. So that tells us something. They have no power, no authority. It's the Republican and the Democrat committeemen that run this nation. as far as who gets onto the ballot. And we need to take them both back. So, again, you know, become a Republican or a Democrat. Hopefully a lot of people will decide to become Democrats because we need to take both parties back. But either one of the two, Republican or Democrat. So, yeah, you need to be registered to vote. What else, Jan?
Okay, next. I try to explain to people about the First Amendment's protection of the freedom of travel and how everyday travel via automobile is not necessarily transportation outside of commercial activity. Some of the replies say that it does not protect cars and trucks and that it implies walking and horseback and precludes motorized sources.
Well, look, they're living in a fantasy world. They're good slaves if they think that way. We all were that at some point. I was that at some point, believing what they said, obeying the codes and regulations of the municipalities and stuff, and only to learn that that's what we're free from. What makes America free from any other nation is we are free from our government. Free from our government. The government can't tell us what to do. They can't make laws to force us to do these things. Yet they have. They've made every place a municipality, and they've written laws. They got county laws, state laws, town laws, city laws, village laws. They got just law. They all got their money machines going because that's all it's all about is making money. So people need to think and be free. Really, people don't really do that. They think they are, but they don't really think free. The fact that they're ignorant proves that point. So how much of the Constitution do you know? And with your answer, I will tell you how free you are not. People don't know of what's going on in the courts, and they don't know until they get there. And when they get there, they scratch their head, and they're wondering, what's going on here? What the heck is happening? How did that happen? How did he make that decision? Where did that come from? And they keep scratching their head and they go on and on and on and on and never come to an answer. And no one's going to answer that. And you're not going to know the answer until you start to study. And then you start to see and understand. They're just turning things back to where it was. They want to be the king and you are their subjects. Just look at the 14th Amendment. How did they get away with that? Citizens are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. I'm subject to no jurisdiction but the jurisdiction of God. That's the only jurisdiction I am subject to. I am not subject to the United States of America. I am not subject to New York State. I am not subject to the county, the town, the village. I'm not subject to any of those things. They are subject to me. I'm not subject to them. And yet, people don't choke on that statement that we are citizens subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That's the 14th Amendment. How do they get away with that, you know? How do they get away with the balance of power? States are no longer sovereign either because they have no senators, they have no say. It's totally, they have no control. The states have no control of federal government, what they do whatsoever. None, zero. They are completely subject to the federal government. And by Rule 2 of the Rules Enabling Act, and Rule 2 that was written up by the United States Supreme Court, really the Bar Association, we have no Constitution. We're not free there either. All right, what else?
Is the right to keep and bear arms an unalienable right or a mere privilege? It seems to have been converted to a privilege because when one is convicted of a felony, even in a nonviolent, victimless crime, they can no longer possess guns, not to mention vote, serve on jury, and are heavily discriminated against in the workplace to hold a decent job because of a piece of paper.
Well, there's a person who made a conclusion from an observation, and is perfectly right. We don't have the rights no more. They've taken it away. You don't have you don't have unalienable rights no more. You don't have a Bill of Rights protecting your unalienable rights no more. You just don't have it. They're not telling you that. No one's going to say that. But go to court. Get stuck into something and go to court and you'll find out. And only we, the people, those of us who have been in, I know about this because I've been in court way, way too many times. And I know exactly what's going on there. I see exactly, and of course I studied to discover. I've scratched my head for years, always perplexing about this. How'd they get away with that? What happened here? And little by little, you learn here, and then all of a sudden you get these big nuggets like Rule 2, okay, and the Rules Enabling Act. The different things that they've passed over the years. But anyway, you start to figure this out and see it. Now, how do we fix it? Well, we need people to fix it. Okay? We can literally take this nation back with 15,000 people. That may sound like a lot, but that really isn't a lot of people. Okay? We just need to hit critical mass. If we don't hit critical mass before the collapse and we start to move into courts and stuff, we'll hit critical mass after. But that keeps putting us behind the eight ball. We've got to get ahead of the game. So we have to hit critical mass, as soon as possible. And that's a matter of just getting the word out to the right places. All we need to do is get interviewed by a couple of these really big, different YouTubers that have a large listenership, okay? Get a few interviews with them, X22 and a few others, we will get a lot of people involved at that point, and the word will go out into the Patriots, out to the Patriots. But we're not getting the message out to the Patriots yet. We're still trying to do that, so everybody should be looking for that. Anyway, just read that the last part of that question again real quick. I want to make sure I answered it. I think I left something out.
They seem to say it's a privilege because when one is convicted of a felony, even a nonviolent crime, and so on.
Well, it is a privilege now. As far as the United States Supreme Court is concerned, it's a privilege. As far as the courts are concerned, it's a privilege. I've noticed the remark that they've made numerous times over the years I've been involved with this, and every once in a while I hear this remark. Oh, you got unalienable rights, huh? I hear that remark. These people know they're guilty of sin. They deserve the penalty. Okay? They know. So that tells us that tells us everything. Oh, so you think you have unalienable rights, huh? Well, you don't anymore unless you take it back. I mean, we do, but we can't exercise them. We'll be, put in jail or whatever for trying to exercise them. But it's up to us to fix this problem. Only we can fix it. Okay, what else you got?
Can anyone opt out of Medicare? I have asked around about this and did some research and could not get a definitive answer. The claim.
You can opt out of anything you want.
Okay. The claims and results that I received that one could jeopardize, lose your Social Security. Is this true?
I'm lost. Say that again.
Well, the question is, if you opt out of Medicare, they claim that you could lose your Social Security.
Oh, that's silliness. No. Yeah, I can't. Unless it's something I don't know about, I can't even fathom the idea. And Medicare, I don't know why anybody would want to opt out of Medicare. You get to decide your own medical coverage anyway. You do pay, but you pay very minimum because you're retired. But the bottom line is things really in that system is, look at health care back in the 1960s, okay, was $12 per person per year. That's what health care cost back in those days. Today it's like $1,200 or $1,400 per person per year. Okay, I mean not per year, but per month. Okay, let me go back. $12 per month for the year. So 12 times 12, $144 per person. Today it's $1,500 or $1,200 per month, whatever that works out to be. It's $14,400, I guess. So what's going on here? What's happening? Well, inflation is a beginning. They're ripping us off. Trump is always talking about that. there are these little cards you can get. If you go into any drugstore, they usually have them. You can ask for them if they're not prominently displayed. And it's a discount card. And you don't have to pay nothing for it. You just take the card. You don't have to sign up anyway. You just use the number on the card. And you get this huge discount on your prescriptions if you don't have a prescription plan, okay? And, you know, what you might spend $150 for, you'll get for $20 or $30, okay? So how does that happen? That's because people are paying a ridiculous amount of money, which is insane. How much do you think it costs to create? They build your medications out of chemicals. And chemicals that are going into your pill, I doubt it's going to cost them any more than maybe 10, 15 cents a pill for whatever it is. I mean, it's all mass-produced to begin with. But these people are so greedy, they want more and more and more. The same thing, the same problem with medical coverage. I think a lot of these doctors are awfully greedy, too. Okay, I know they have a problem with the insurance, but again, that brings us back to the lawyer problem, brings us back to the judicial problem, then the courts, and all the things going on there. None of these things need to be so expensive. I often wondered, well, I didn't wonder. I can see and understand now, you know, looking at the value of things, but from what it was in the 60s and what it is today, it has progressively has gone up. You know, but you go down to New York City, and you can go into, almost any neighborhood. I wouldn't say every neighborhood, but most any neighborhood. Yeah, let's take the Bronx, you know, or Brooklyn or Queens particularly, okay, because that's where the people live, you know. The big business is in the city, but there are areas that people live there. But in the Bronx, let's say, you go into these apartment buildings. I mean, they're probably a mess today. But in the 60s, you go into these apartment buildings, I mean, there is beautiful tile and all kinds of beautiful stones as you come into each one of these apartment buildings, usually very tall ceilings, beautiful woodwork up on the ceilings, and usually two doors to get in. The second door is lockable. In some places, they were locked. In some places, they wasn't. I'm just saying as it was when I was a kid growing up. But yeah, all the apartments had a beautiful crown molding on the ceiling and beautiful molding on the floor. It takes a lot of work, carpenters, to do this and to build like this and put all this workmanship into it. Yet it was done for the common person who was living in an apartment building. That's, they were living in a beautiful places, you know. Since the 60s, a lot of this has deteriorated. The cities have fallen apart and so on and so forth. I don't know what it looks like these days. It's been a while since I've been down in New York City. But today, it's too expensive for them to build apartment buildings like that and put all that beautiful stuff in there, the tiles and the different stones and woodwork. It's just too expensive. But why? Why? Because of inflation, because of the greed, because most of the money that floats anywhere goes into the pockets of the elite, and they just don't stop. So, all right, what else we got?
My friend and I are both NLA members, and we are looking to get people registered in a system, communicate online with other local members. Right now we see a state page. We're wondering if there's a way to form a local group page on the NLA website, a safe space to discuss materials and coordinate meetings and so forth. We could use
Facebook, yeah.
But we want to leave that site out. Focus on NLA.
We can help people connect with other people in their county, and it's really up to the people in the county to even get more people to come in and get involved. And so on. So we go down to the county level. We will be going with the committeeman thing. We'll be going right down to the election district level, which brings us right into the towns. But we can help get people together, but it's up to the people to get together locally and discuss things and do things and try to fix things or make plans and so on and so forth. That's the grassroots level. And we don't want to take control of that. We want to encourage the grassroots level to rise up and start to do some decision-making and thinking and planning and organizing and grouping and so on and so forth. We will, facilitate, you know, the place for communications and organizing, and also for education particularly. And we'd like to really push it real hard, the fact that before you really start to take control of anything, you need to know certain things. You need to get educated. You need to know the Constitution, and depending on what you're doing, and, you know, you need to know common law, history of our nation, our heritage. These things is the things we need to know to be able to make good, informed decisions. You know, all the problems we have, I look into government and I see what's going on here and I see what's going on there, and even in the courts and everything, all the problems we have, if we can, you know, just wave a magic wand, and tomorrow all elected individuals were obeying the Constitution, we could kick back and relax because we don't have any more problems. The only problems we have is the problems we make for ourselves. Wouldn't that be great? But that's what can be accomplished by people taking control of their grassroots and getting educated and starting to make decisions for whatever person that gets elected that affects your election district. You want to get involved with that and decide who those people are going to be, and you want to exercise the power to recall anyone who is disobedient to the Constitution, anybody what's called, what the Constitution calls, bad behavior. If they're in bad behavior, it means they're not obeying the Constitution. That is what bad behavior is. Good behavior is someone who's obeying the Constitution. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. So you need to know the Constitution to see if they're behaving or not. And if they're not behaving, recall them. Take them out of office. We could do it. Done. Gone. You only have to share it with the rest of the committee men affected by those election districts, bring them together and say, hey, look what this clown is doing here. Oh, wow, yeah. Let's go recall him. Take him out of office. 90 days, he's gone. People don't know this, but that's the power. That's consent of government. We have government by consent. The problem is people are not spending their time consenting. They're not getting involved. And they're not teaching the children. Again, every person in America should become a committeeman once in their lifetime. I don't think they should really become a committeeman more than once, to be honest with you, because we have a lot of people, and we want people to become committeemen. Everybody should get involved. We should teach our children in school. That's their duty. At some point in your life, you need to become a committeeman once. We need to teach them what a committeeman is and how to become a committeeman. They should know, before they come out of school, they should know how to fill out a designating petition and where to file it and what time of the year it's done on. That's every child should know that. Every child should know the Constitution. Every child should understand the business of whatever office a person is being elected to. Very specifically, you know, what are the jobs of these elected people? You know, I think the only one that we're really sure on is the dog catcher. You know, we know what he does or she does. You know, other than that, I don't know that people really know much of anything. We need to know who appoints the people who give us the problems. When you get someone with an appointed individual and they block you from getting somewhere or doing something or whatever the case may be, who appointed that person? That person was appointed by an elected individual. So you trace back to the elected individual, you go after him or her. Tell them to fix the problem. You got so much time, you don't fix the problem, we're yanking you from office. That's how the people have to talk and do, and we can do that. We can yank them from office by the power of recall. I've heard lawyers here in New York talking about, well, you can't recall because there's no law. We need a law to recall? No, it is common sense. It is a truth that is so obvious. It's the power of the people, the authority of the people. We don't need government to give us a law to do it. We are the lawmakers ourselves. We wrote the Constitution. So that's our power, and that's how it was, but it's not how it is, because people don't know, and therefore they're ignorant to it, and therefore they're enslaved to the powers that be, you know? All right, what else we got?
That's all I have, John.
Okay. All right, before we move, Gerard, are you here? Calling Gerard. Did he come in tonight? Is that him down there?
I don't know. There's the National Liberty Alliance. Is that him?
Yeah, I think so. Mr. Gerard, you got to unmute yourself. Oh, maybe he doesn't have his I don't know, his mic isn't mute. He hasn't clicked in on his mic. You got to click your mic in to be connected. Well, he wouldn't be able to hear us if his mic wasn't connected, right, Jan? Let me try to unmute him. See, who is this? I'm going to unmute you. Who is this? Well, I can't unmute him. All right. Anyway. Okay, is Brent here? He may be traveling home from the program.
I haven't found Brent.
No Brent? Okay. All right. Anyway, Gerard, if you're here and when you come active, let me know, and I'll pass the board over to you. Meanwhile, I'll take Q&A. So we'll take our first question. We have no more announcements, right, Jan?
Yeah, there are no more announcements.
Okay. All right, let's take our first caller. Cody from Illinois, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Cody?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Hey, you were talking about the federal citizen. Have you guys ever been involved with the book Sovereign to Serf that Roger Sales wrote?
Not particularly, but I understand what a lot of the sovereign groups understand as citizens, and their misunderstanding. Even our founding fathers referred to us as citizens. It's not a dirty word. It's not a bad word. It's a word that the enemy has seized control of and gave a different meaning to. Now, it is true that other nations that are subservient to their government are called citizens, but we are a different kind of a nation. And we are so unique that the type of nation that we are, the type of republic that we are, has only been found one time in the history of the world.
But we were
and it lasted for 400 years. And it was back in 1600 B.C. by the nation of Israel. We are the second to have been blessed to be able to be under the type of republic that we have. But go ahead.
Well, we're supposed to be state citizens, and that's where he brings to light in the book, all his research, that you can file an affidavit. There's court cases, Supreme Court cases, that affirm that, yes, you can file an affidavit with the Secretary of State. And it's just kind of it's interesting, and I know people that have done it, they save on taxes and all that, so it's something to research.
Well, I'm a citizen of any place. I want to be a citizen at any moment in time. I live in New York right now. And if after the program tonight I decide to pack up my house and my belongings and my family, and Jen, we'll get a hold of him in the next call. And I decide to pick up my stuff and just go across the state line to Jersey or over to Pennsylvania or move across to the other side of the nation and plant myself. The moment I plant my feet on that state, I'm a citizen of that state. I don't need to record myself anywhere. I don't need to sign in anywhere. I am just that, period. And that's what we are as the United States. Let me just finish the point. Yeah. That's how we are as the United States. That's one of the things about us. We gave the job in order to, for people to become citizens, it's the federal government's job to set forth the necessary course, and they have. Okay, testing a process for people to become citizens of the United States. And when they become citizens of the United States, and I know they robbed that name from us, okay? They'll never say that in court. They'll never use that in court. They'll play their word games, but it's all a fraud. We'll call it for what it is, and we'll beat it on a fraud. Nevertheless, when people become a citizen of the United States, whatever state they're living in at the time and they want to live in, well, they're a citizen of that state. They're not really a citizen of the United States. What makes us really a citizen of the United States is the fact that we can pick up our citizenship and go to this state at any given time, and we don't even have to tell anybody about it. We go there and exercise our rights in that state as well as we would do in another state. But each state is sovereign, is meant to be that way, and that's the way we formed our nation. And 50 states we have at this point, they're all sovereign. They're supposed to be sovereign states. They've lost their sovereignty because they don't have senators. They have no say in Congress. They have nothing to say what the federal government does. No control, period. Done. So they're enslaved to the federal government, just like we the people are enslaved to the federal government because they got rid of the Constitution and they put all these municipalities out there under municipality law, and it's different from this town to that town, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of this because we fell asleep. And now that we know...
Parasitic government.
Huh?
Parasitic government.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we could take it back.
Yeah.
And you know, again, in the Constitution, there is a reference to the word citizen. And again, it's not really a dirty word. It doesn't put you under civil law. Has nothing to do with that. Okay? And we do have a duty to our fellow citizens or townspeople or whatever word you want to use, it's irrelevant. And that, you know, just do no harm. That's all. Live without doing any harm to anyone, and everybody's happy. Do harm to someone, and you got to pay the penalty, whatever that may be. And the people need to decide that.
I was buying a water heater today, and they said that. You know, if I didn't claim that it was for my farm, that I needed to have a permit to install. I mean, my God, it's just...
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
A simple electric water heater, you know, you got three wires, and, you know, one ground and a couple wires. It doesn't matter which way you do it. You know, you just plumb it in, not a big deal. And, you know, it's just, you know, in fact, what Roger does on his book, he talks about how real estate actually means less than true ownership. If you look at the true meaning of real estate, and they kind of talk about how, you know, they've stolen, you know, the true allodial title, and now it's real estate, and you think you own it, but it technically means less than full ownership, and I guess that's the way it is, because you need a permit to put a water heater in your own house, you know. It's
And we've been raised to be good slaves to agree with all that and continue on and not complain and moan and groan. We've learned to become good slaves.
For all the guys out there, listen, Edgar County Watchdogs there in Illinois, they're doing a lot of good training on how to keep up, especially with the local governments. They're busting all sorts of townships. Like you had said one night, you know, you said just a little bit of power that these township, and I guess you guys call them committee people out there, you know, they just get so corrupted so easily. And that's what they have found, that just, you know, they'll have, you know, rules that say that, you know, the only employees get health care, and then it turns out people just sitting on a board or getting, you know, just working a little bit a month or a week, you know, are getting health care and all these benefits they're not supposed to get. I mean, they're just constantly over, you know, turning up. And they do training for people to learn how to do FOIAs and file lawsuits when the FOIAs aren't, you know, properly submitted and all that.
And we shouldn't have to be filing FOIAs. You know, we should go to government, ask for what we need, and they should give it to us. Now, if it's something that is vital somehow, you know, well, then you may have to do a FOIA to get it, and then this is so ridiculous. And I was a builder for many years, a contractor, and a builder, not long ago, I did something with somebody to help him get something. It was a couple of years back. To do something with the town, send them in to get prints and stuff. In order to get the information from you go in and you just look it up yourself and you get the information that you need. In order to get that, they require now to do a FOIA to get information for building, and a structure or whatever the case may be. It's really, really getting bad. It's all about control and money and restricting and restraining.
Parasitic bureaucrats, you know, all they're worried about is, you know, their retirement and their power, you know, whatever the psychology is, but a lot of it's their retirement. You look at Illinois, you get these state workers that retire in 20 years with like 90%. So they don't even have it. It's not just people that got a dangerous job. I agree. Okay, let them have an early retirement, but just some secretary or something, state government's retiring in 20 years with 90%. They don't even pay much in. They pay in 5 months worth of their salary or something over the course of their career, and they're ending up with 90%, you know, it's a joke. Anyway, it's just...
It's a mess. You know, here's another one. You know, when I ran for committee man some years back, it was quite a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago since I ran, last time I ran for committee man. But when I ran for committee man, you go down to the Board of Elections, and you get your walking list, okay? When I walked in there the first time, I told them I wanted to get a walking list for a certain election district, okay? Mm-hmm. And they told me to go to see the chairman. I said, what do I want to go see the chairman for, you know? And I argued with them. I don't want to go talk to no chairman. I don't need no one's blessings or information. I don't need no one under, you know, that I have to go through to become a committee man. I want to run for committee man. So I would like to have a list of all of the people in my election district where I need to get signatures from. Finally, they decided they'd give it to me, okay? And but they made me fill out a FOIA, okay? I said, why do I have to fill out a FOIA? To get just a list, okay? So I filled out the FOIA. I was really pissed off, but I filled out the FOIA. And I said, okay, now I would like it. You know, can I please have it? Well, come back next week. You know, we can't give it to you right now. We'll have to collect it and get it together to tell them. So I come back next week, okay? I come and I said, I'm here to pick up my list for, run, you know, to work for committee man in my election district, so on and so forth. And he said, oh, okay. And they went over to the computer and they started to type a few things and then hit a button and the list came out and they gave it to me. I said, why couldn't you do that when I was here before? Why did you make me come back twice? Okay? And they just looked at me like we're deers in a headlight, you know? It's like they're trained to just annoy you and give you a hard time and just so you don't come back and deal with government no more. Let government be and let them rule over me, you know? That must be what half of it is all about.
Well, you know how insane it's getting? Like, for example, this is, you know, like in Illinois, say for in the oil business, so say you want all the data on all the wells, so it's all going to be digital. They want, if you want all the data they've got, they want $100,000 or something, some ridiculous amount of money. They're charging you per well log. And it's like, you know, they don't pay you nothing when you submit your data that they require for when you drill a well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how they sure want to charge an exorbitant amount of money for electronic data, you know, if you want. I just have always thought it's really insane how these, you know, I talk to the attorney and they say that, well, they're required to, you know, they're allowed to charge a certain, you know, it's just insane to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
For electronic, you know, you take probably several hard drives, but if you go bring the hard drives to them, now why should you have to pay $100,000 just for some data from your own government that they require,
yeah,
you know, they require you to submit for free, but yet then when you want it, you know, of other people's own, it's
mm-hmm.
You know,
plus they charge you 25 cents a paper to get things. If you want to pick up papers and you want to get a copy, 25 cents a page. Who are these people? You know?
Yeah, it costs them. You know, why wouldn't it be at cost if it's government for the people? Why would it cost you a penny in the copy machine, whatever that app, we know what it is, because you can go lease a copy machine for 2 or 3 cents or a penny or whatever it is.
Well, we already paid for that. We already paid for that anyway, so it doesn't matter, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess they, even if they want to argue, we don't want people to abuse it and get stuff they don't need. They should be doing it at cost. You walk into a clerk's office, yeah, they want 50 cents a copy or something to go look at deeds, and it's like, and then some of them will even be abusive, and they won't let you take pictures out of the book if they're not, you know, it's just, I think there was a challenge on that one time, saying these public records, you know, how can you chastise somebody?
Well, look it, we can solve all these problems and make them all go away by becoming consenters, by having government by consent, if the people step up and do this, because, you know, all it takes is a phone call. Right? Once the people know, and once the bureaucrats know, okay, but once the people know that they can get access to their committee man, and that there exists a committee man, or to the administrators for the juries, the grand juries and the trial juries, all they do is go down twice. I'm having a problem with a bureaucrat. They won't give me this. They want a FOIA. Oh, yeah, what's the guy? What's the person's name? Give them a call and tell them who you are and tell them, take care of this person. Why are you giving them a hard time? They don't need a FOIA for that. We can straighten that problem right out real quick. Okay, all these little BS problems just disappear. All the frustration, the aggravation, will retrain these people and give the power back to the people. I'm the boss. I own this place. You guys got to give me what I want. This is the boss speaking. I want this and I want that. There's no reason why you to hold this up or to require me to fill out a paper or do any of those things. But again, the people got to start thinking free and taking control and stop being a slave. I speak to myself first.
Well, let me ask you this: as corrupt as Illinois is, they do have a law that states that if I don't think it matters if it's a city or township or what, but if they don't give you the data on a FOIA request and you have to sue them, they end up having to pay the attorney's fees for whatever group or person was needing the information. So they, you know, as corrupt as it is, they still have that law. Do most states have that law, or does New York have that, where if you have to sue your...
Well, I don't know. You know, I know that a lot of things, especially on the federal level, you got to sue to get almost anything. But, yeah, I'm sure on the state level, to some degree, it's there. I haven't really come to those problems where I had to sue for anything, so I haven't experienced that. But I sure have come to the problem of having to wait a long time for them to do nothing but put a finger on a button and pass the paper over to me. I mean, give me a break. You could be walking by the computer doing real work, just push two buttons and walk away, and on the way back you can pick up the paper and throw it at me over the counter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All this is just so ridiculous, but anyway, we've got to move to our next caller.
Right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Okay, Jan, you say that Dan's here?
Yeah, Dan's in the queue.
MT?
Dan MT, yes, Montana.
Okay. Dan, you got the mic. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, John.
Sure.
Hey, thank you guys for that trifold and the paper you wrote. It seemed to be pretty well accepted. I was on late the call tonight. I'm a committee man, a precinct person. The terms are a little different, so I'm looking forward to that class.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... down at the Red Pill, it was a great event. We had Alan Keyes spoke.
Oh, Alan Keyes. I haven't heard from him in a while. It's like he fell off the edge of the planet or something, but go ahead.
He was excellent.
He's dynamic,
We had another guy that impersonated President George Washington, and he was up on his game. And I guess the thing that impressed me the most is bringing God back into our government. But anyway, made a lot
without
of...
Without God, there is no America. And anybody who chokes on God, they need to reconsider, you know, how they're looking at life. Because you can't have unalienable rights without God. You can't have the blessings of liberty without God. You can't have our republic without his law. That's who we are. You know, a lot of people, I've heard this in the past, refer to America as another Israel. And I kind of agreed and disagreed. But when I first started studying and started to understand where we come from and how we're structured, we are another Israel. We are a second Israel. We made a covenant with God through our Declaration of Independence. People need to understand that. That is the foundation of who we are. We have unalienable rights. We are created in his image. And all men are created equal, endowed by his by God. How does that go? Endowed by I forget how that words what words were there, but in any event, you know, we have to realize that. And when you realize that, you can't have America without having God. Now, you don't have to believe in God. You could be an atheist, and you can have you could be of any religion you want. You know, even the Jews in Israel, they accepted people outsiders. You know, people as they passed through places, and other people who were suppressed maybe by the cities or places that they lived in, and they saw the Jews how they lived, and they had liberty. They wanted to live with them, and people left their homes to be with Israel. Israel always had foreigners living amongst them. Their only requirement was just obey our laws, accept the government we have. And it's that simple. And who would want to say no to that, a government that gives liberty? A government that doesn't throw people in prison at the whim of a king, you know, or a bureaucrat in our case, you know? But go ahead.
Yep. I made quite a few inroads. I'll be working on getting interviews and stuff for you and Gerard or whoever.
Yeah, maybe we should get together and talk maybe tomorrow or the next day whenever you get a chance, get Gerard, myself, and, you know, get some of the inside stories or whatever more information you can give us and details, you know. You just getting home or are you still traveling?
No, we, a couple of us, we headed home last night. It was almost 1,800 miles round trip, so. Long ways. Anyway, also, is the health program still going? I haven't been my time schedule, Jan.
Yeah, I don't know, Jan. Are they still meeting?
No. No, there are no more meetings. We ran out of people who had something they wanted to say.
Well, maybe we can make an announcement for anybody who wants to pick up on that a little bit, even for a week or two. You know?
Yeah, there was a few people kind of interested in that. I think good things are coming of it. And they're going to do another expo. It's the anniversary here coming up of Jekyll Island. So maybe with a little more notice we can get you or somebody there.
Where is it at?
Well, it'll can't say for sure, but it's more on the East Coast.
Oh, it's going to be in the East Coast. I'm sure myself or Gerard could make it to that. Maybe both of us could make it. And I'm sure there's others who would like to come with us, too. We're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Jan's not too far from us. Maybe it'll be in between him and me.
Do you have a date for it yet, Dan?
Well, they're still in the planning stages, so they didn't want to let much out. But maybe when we talk, I can let you know a little more.
Did you put yourself down on the list to be notified of the information?
Yes.
Okay, so as soon as you know, we need to know.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, it'll be a lot quicker this time.
Mm-hmm.
They ran way short of time for a lot of people, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty positive. I think we'll get some good exposure from it. We shared a table with Brent. That was really good.
Yeah, Brent's a great guy, huh?
Yes, he is. So I'll be chatting with you. People can still go to Red Pill Expo. .com and I think you can still get the listen live button or the pay $25 and listen to it if you're interested. It was some of that stuff is very good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, appreciate the update and let's get together and talk and maybe we'll update with a little more information next week, you know?
Yes. Okay. All right.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jan.
Hey, well, thanks for traveling that far and doing this for us. So. But you did say we got. Did you get rid of most of the papers that we? How many flyers did you make up, and how many were you able to give out? All of them, or some of them?
I think I printed up a dozen of the bigger booklets, and I did a booklet, and they looked really good.
Good.
And I did a couple hundred flyers, and I don't have many left.
Okay. And what kind of response did you get from that? Did people come back to discuss anything concerning you know what we wrote down or what kind of response?
Not so much. It was a pretty busy weekend, but I think the important thing out of it will be the getting to do some media presentations.
Right, that's key. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Both groups are concerned with getting back to the grassroots, so it's kind of I think it'll be a good fit if we can get it done right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Working together. Okay, well, thank you.
Appreciate it, thanks. All right, before we next take our next call, I just wanted to see Gerard. Are you in here yet? I have a feeling that's Gerard, but he looks like he's, you know... Well, no, there's a lot of people in here that get... Even you, Jan, you look faded out, too. But you're here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you just unmuted yourself. Yeah, I don't know why he's not responding. Maybe he's away from the computer. Let me try to unmute him. Yeah, I can't seem to unmute him. All right, anyway, Gerard, if you're listening, if you want to take control of the mic, let me know. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Did you have something you wanted to say before we move to the next caller, Jan?
No.
Just okay.
Thanks to Dan for doing all that work.
Okay. All right, let's take Dawn. Is that Dawn from Nevada?
Hi, yes. Thanks for the call tonight.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I went to the show. It was great.
Oh, you went to the Red Pill program thing?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes, it was wonderful. And the booth was great. Everyone really did a good display. They had a screen that showed National Liberty Alliance, and it was really good, promo.
Uh-huh.
The booth looked really good. And I did find out, I think, the date is June, and it's in Georgia next year. I think
June is a nice time, you know?
Yeah, in Georgia, yeah, it would be great. So I'm not sure if they have one before then, but I did ask, when the next event was, and I'm pretty sure that's what they said. Someone's told me that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, Georgia's about 800 miles, I think, from where I'm at, roughly speaking. How far is Georgia from you, Jen?
Oh, it's probably 700 and some.
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe about 800 for me, so, yeah. I would make that trip in June, so.
I mean, I might try. I don't know. If I'm from Kentucky, so, it is far from me because I'm in Vegas, but I'm from Kentucky, and so I could see my family and then come down there.
Yeah, that's a trip for you.
Yeah, so I'd like to see my family if I'm going to do that trip. But being a committee man, I wanted to ask you that, if I get online and I sign up for that, and I looked at the deadline for Nevada, for Las Vegas here.
Yeah, that's going to be updated, though. I have a feeling those dates are not accurate. They do a lot of early stuff in different states, but as far as the committee man, When usually do they have their primaries in your state? When does that
come? Well, I think I looked it up, and it looked like February, the ballots, everyone who's going to be running has to be by February, I think.
Okay.
So,
all right, so maybe, We may be right on that. I've got to look in, we're getting a hold of all of the state election laws, and if you want to, I don't know if we have yours yet, but if you want to search it out and get a copy to Jen, and then Jen will be getting it to me, that'd be helpful. Anybody wants to go out and search out election laws, but it's got to be PDF. It can't be something that you go online, you have to stay online, you click link to link to link. You can't do a good search. It's got to be a PDF, and usually it's a couple of hundred pages of election law. And you should, with it all in one shot in a PDF, you can put a keyword in and you can find every place where that keyword is throughout the whole law. And that's the kind of searching we need to be able to do in order to discover, how they hid the committeeman in that state. And there's solutions even if we don't find that, because it's the unalienable right of the people to have government by consent. And government by consent begins with choosing who's going to go on the onto the ballots, and that is always controlled by the committee man, who is an elected individual, not an appointed individual, an elected individual, controlled by nobody but himself and the people he's representing, he or she is representing. So, but we're going to be getting those details and be very specific. I think. Let me think about this. I think before Christmas, for sure, we will have all of the information up there on how to run for committeeman and, filling out the papers. The papers are the same in every state, so that doesn't really much matter. We can get that out and teach that. The job of the committeeman is the same in every state, so we can teach that. The only thing that might hold us up and might take us to get till Christmas to get up there would be, the actual election law for each state. And basically, we would probably do something, one video, which would be a, let me think, when we do it, yeah, I think that would be the way to do it. We'd probably do a video, which would be a PowerPoint video, and we'd start with the state, we'd do it alphabetically, and go through each state, very specific, which is very little information, just basically you know, when you could start walking your papers and when it has to be put in, you know, put in, and maybe, you know, some other little pieces of information, but very minimum, so we wouldn't have to spend a lot of time on each state. And we could probably put a list underneath the video where we can say, you know, go to Mark, you know, this Mark number here to get to this state and that Mark to get to that state and so on and so forth, so that people don't have to sit and listen to the whole thing. The other thing we could do is maybe we could just do audios on that. That might be the best way for that. We'll put each state, a little MP3 for each state, and be maybe a three-minute audio clip of information on the time of the Miniman run, the deadline, and so on and so forth. And again, it's not any more than a couple of minutes of information for those details. But that's the only thing we have to research, because everything else we've already researched.
Okay,
anything else? Okay.
Not yet, but I will have another question on that, I think, once I see your material.
Yeah, and I'll get it up as quick as I can. You know, we pretty much have all this done. It's just a matter of putting it into a PowerPoint and then, you know, creating the audio for it and then posting it up. So.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. It is Dan from the Carolinas. Go right ahead, Dan. You got the mic. Dan from the Carolinas. You've been unmuted. Dan from the Carolinas. One more time. Meanwhile, Gerard, if you're here, let me know. Okay, last call for Dan from the Carolinas. He must have walked away from his computer or fell asleep. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller. Terry from New Jersey, you got the mic.
Hello, John.
Yes, how you doing, Terry?
Hi. Good. I was wondering why the NLA isn't taking advantage of all these social media tools that you have. For example, I was looking at your website earlier, and you have like less than 600 subscribers. And I know that you like some of these YouTube people, and I also do too, like, you know, David Zublik and Lionel. A couple statistics here. Lionel has 241,000 subscribers.
Yeah, he's poo-pooed us out. You know, the people can't do that. You see, Lionel, he's a good guy, don't get me wrong. I like a lot of his views. I think some of his views is a little distorted. He's a lawyer. And I tried to communicate with him, and he thought we were crazy. You know, this is a lawyer's business. This isn't the people's business. You know, so
he doesn't see
it that way, but go ahead.
Well, what I was thinking is that you have a lot of content, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. You're doing 3 hours tonight. You've got all these, you know, calls from the past. I don't see why you couldn't do maybe a half hour a week or whatever. And you don't necessarily have to do a video. You know, you could put an audio thing up there.
Oh, yeah, we've already started that. We're trying to get someone to kind of take the lead for that. But I've got about three or four. I got a lot more than that, but I want to go through them and double check. I probably got about 30 of them altogether, or 25 PowerPoint videos put together on different subject matters. Okay. As a matter of fact, like tonight's program that we went through, and I did forget. I apologize for this. I did forget to let people know that you could get it. You could have followed along with us, but so that people know, for every week, I post the papers up. Under education, so if you highlight education on our blue bar and you come down to weekly topics, click on weekly topics, and you will find the papers that you can follow along with. Now sometimes, pretty much it should be pretty much the same, but sometimes it changes. I might have updated and changed something, so you'll have a more later date than what I might speak. But, for instance, tonight was government by consent. That paper's up there in that page. Last week, we discussed the rules of the common law courts. That paper's up there. The week before, we discussed the plan to save the Republic. And the week before that, we spoke about democracy versus the Republic. Now, I have a copy of all of the studies we've done even prior to that. And most of them are already in the PowerPoint. But I do want to go back and just go through them and get them up. If I can get a weekend where I didn't have anything to do but to work on those PowerPoints and these papers, I could probably get 30 videos up like that. But what I'm going to try to do is once we get a couple of videos up, I want to put at least one a week up. Maybe two a week. The one we're doing on a Monday, and maybe one from the past. Or maybe we'll try to get all the past up there and then just put one a week after that. But we'll figure it out. We had a couple of people that were working, sort of creating an NLA News. The gentleman that was running that, he's been ill for a while, and we're kind of waiting for him to come back. I know he was working with Terry. Terry, how's things going out there? Are you guys ready to pick up on the news program with Gerard, or was that kind of just in limbo for right now?
No, we're in limbo at the moment. Ollie had some mic problems today, and he found a bad solder joint. And that's really, he's been trying to get his equipment right. He has a tutorial on how to create a server so that we can have people in every county that wants to build their own server and sit and record live streaming and get it up to the net and then pass it on. So he's working on getting capabilities to record this stuff live. And that's mainly what he's working on.
All right. Well, whenever you can. So Ollie's doing okay these days? I know he was ill for a while.
Mostly, he's doing okay. He has good days and bad days sometimes.
All right, well, hopefully soon, maybe you can work it out with him and get the leadership together. I'd like to be at that meeting and discuss a plan to kind of put it in motion. And I'm ready to post some videos up there again from our meetings that we're having here. But I'd love to see a news program going or some live programs going like you're discussing. I know Gerard spoke about taking a particular topic and just kind of sticking to a small section, maybe reading something and then discussing that particular issue. And so I'm sure we'd come to a lot of creative ideas, And there's other people that would like to get involved. And, of course, the more, the merrier. But anyway, try to set something up so we can, discuss and see where we're at and discuss ideas and get things moving, right?
That's a good idea because most of your content, it's very good, but it's like 2 or 3 years old, and so you don't have that many subscribers. Lydia put up a video last year, and she got like 54,000 subscribers on one video. Mm-hmm. I mean, not subscribers, but views. So it would be nice if you could, tap into that market.
Yeah, we need to get the word out so people know about us, and so that's the big thing. And I think we got 3 or 4 videos up there. It goes back to the Bundy days, so they're pretty old. They're way back there. And it's just been sitting there idling with those 3 or 4 videos. We really got to spark it up and get it moving. And once we get that going and get the word out, again, we need to get onto a we need to really get interviewed by X22. In my opinion, that's one of the most powerful programs out there. I don't recall. I'm trying to think if the Black Conservative. What's it called? BCP, right? Patriot. Black Conservative Patriot. Does he do interviews? I don't recall him doing interviews. He does some good news. And sometimes there's a few of them up there that are pretty big that do some interviews. NX22 does, I think, a couple of videos, interviews a week. I always say interviews by him putting things up, different people, individuals. And we'd fit right into his programming, what we got, you know?
I think you would fit into a lot of different people's programming, like Kyle Kalinske and, you know, a lot of other people out there.
Yeah, any Patriot, we will fit right into that program. Any Patriot program, we're like a glove for them.
Okay, well, maybe we should make a list of who to contact and shows that might be sympathetic to
you.
Yeah,
if you can assist us with that, talk with Jan, we'd really appreciate it. And we get people or yourself to start to spearhead the calls. And once we get connection and they're interested, then, you know, Jan usually takes it from there, and he'll lay out, my scheduling to get me onto the program.
Well, that would be good because, you know, we don't all listen to the same, YouTube channels. So,
right.
All right. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, too. Okay. Let us take our next caller. We don't have a name for this. Let's see. It looks like a Connecticut number, 203. What's your first name and your state? I believe that's Connecticut. Your first name and your state. You've been unmuted. Okay, one more call for Connecticut, 203. It's an 895 number, 203-895. You got the mic, last call. All right, we'll take our next caller. Gail from, is that Minnesota, MN?
Oh, hi, this is Gail. I called a couple weeks back.
How you doing?
Hi, doing okay. Wish better, but I'm the one with the mother that was kidnapped by the hospital, and then we're still in that pending process of the habeas.
Right, I just printed out your papers today for filing, and I'm kind of hoping to get them out tomorrow. We got about five habeas corpuses, and what was it, four? I remember it was four or five. And we got, I think, four more people who are moving cases as joinders, and we're just lacking a few little pieces of information, so I'm hoping to get it together tomorrow, and it'll be going out tomorrow's mail.
Okay.
So we'll take, and you'll get a copy. We'll send a copy to you of what we filed in the courts and so on.
Okay. I do have kind of another issue that's connected to it. I do have court tomorrow. I did put in for the court observers. What the hospital is trying to do is flip it around and make me the, charge me with the crime of trespass. And then they're making up.
So they're taking you to court?
Yeah, they're taking me to court because they kicked me out of the hospital that night after they stopped her her ventilator on her. And then they, like I said, then I called the police, and then the police took me away and put me in the jail center. And then they're charging me for trespass. And so I have that court date in the morning.
Well, first of all, I don't know how they can get you for trespassing in a hospital or a place where there's people go. I mean, I don't know how they could do that. But in any event, they probably told you not to come back or something, and you came back maybe?
No, I didn't go back. I was too scared to go back because they already had the police come and take me into the, you know, the jail center for the day. And
right.
Then they put that trespass on me, and then they also said that I was shoving people, which I wasn't, and they're just making up a bunch of different things.
They're gonna stretch things out. You know, it's gonna be they're gonna feel things out on your first day there, and they're probably gonna tell you to come back. It's possible it could be squashed right there. Do you have a lawyer, or are you just going in on your own?
No, I tried to speak to some lawyers, but they kind of already know about me and my area because I had another case. You know, my other case was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was blacklisted for lawyers.
Right. Well, anyway, look at you. They'll probably put it off for another month for another hearing. They'd like to do those things, stretch it out. And this is all about the lawyers making money. So the more hearings they can have, the more monies they make. And so that plays a big role in all this stuff. It takes years to get anything through the courts, and nothing good comes about at the end results anyway. But you know, we could do a paper for you, get a hold of intake if you want, and we could do a challenge of jurisdiction with what's called an amicus curiae, which is a paper coming in from the grand jury, challenging the jurisdiction on your behalf and walking you through the paperwork. You know?
Okay, do that as well. But as far as in the morning, do I absolutely have to go, or can I?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I do. Yeah,
you don't want to not go. Never not go to the court if you're being beckoned by them, because there's nothing more dangerous than ignorance and action. They love action, and they're extremely ignorant, and they love to come out and arrest people, and they just like to do that stupid stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm afraid of, that they're going to actually do that after the court date, or after, you know, the arraignment.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, look, if anything, they'll try to fine you, make some money out of you. Like I said, they'll put it off for a couple of weeks so the lawyers will make money. But since the other side's got a lawyer, or is this being done by a district attorney? They're trying to make a criminal action of it.
Yeah, they're trying to make it a criminal action.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they may push it out a couple of times. They'll probably make a deal and try to give you a fine or something, and don't go back there again. They don't care that your mother's there. They don't care that it's family. They don't care about anything but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the hardcore truth, unfortunately. But we got the habeas corpus going through. That should put a little shaking on them too, I think. And we will, since there's no court involved, we will make the decision. If the federal chief judge doesn't make the decision and just does nothing, okay, then we will send a paper to him, give him a final decision. We're not going to give him much time to do the right thing, and if not, we'll do it for him and indict him. We've already decided a while back that any judge who denies a habeas corpus and doesn't go through with the process, I mean, there's nothing worse than that. Our right to due process is what a habeas corpus is all about. Any judge who denies that is assaulting the person, the Constitution. They're ignoring everything, and they need to be indicted. And so we have already pre-decided that any judge who violates that habeas corpus is indicted.
Okay. So I basically, what I should be doing is just objecting to the, you know.
I'm sorry? Say that again?
Should I be putting an objection then into the, I'm sorry if my...
Well, yeah, let's see what they have to say first. You know what I mean? You know, I think the first thing they're going to do is try to scare you. And they're going to say, look, you got to come back with a lawyer. You know, this is what they're going to do. That gives you, and they're going to set it up for 30 days, so it gives time for the paperwork. You can start filing papers, working, you know, we can work with you to help you file papers for that. And then we'll see where it goes. But you know what? Again, if we're successful with the habeas corpus, and I really think in your case we probably will be, and other reasons I think we may be successful in a lot of them, but we'll see how it goes. Then that's going to be a different kind of a leverage now. First of all, you won't have to go deal with that hospital no more. And second of all, you do a counter lawsuit on them, you know. But you have to know how to do the courts for that. Do you have any experience in courts, writing papers and things of that nature?
Well, a little bit, but not.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing to do that. You know, you got to know how things work. And it's a fight to get a court of record, which you'll never win, but you might be able to get a judge who will agree with you and give her a summary judgment in the right way, and that's what you like. But I, you know, if you do an affidavit and you think you can do this, you know, you can sue him back. So,
okay.
But anyway.
Okay. So, okay, that does answer my question. I'll just go in the morning. I don't know if I'll have a court observers or not, but hopefully then we'll just go from there.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, if anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6, we only got a couple people in the queue right now, and we still have another half hour, so star 6 to get into the queue. We're going to take our next caller. It is 718. How come I recognize that area code? Is that New York City?
Hello?
Hello, 718, first name and state. New York?
This is Sarah. I spoke to you a while back from New York. I used to live in Brooklyn. Now I'm in Binghamton.
Okay, yeah. Well, in New York, 718, I recognize that area code. So, yeah.
Yes. I spoke to you maybe a year and change before. I mentioned Harlem and stuff, but I have a question. I know you are calling for comedian, and I went to the website. But the is that it will not let me open the, maybe that's the problem when people haven't signed up.
Anybody signing up to become a committee man must become a member first, of course, and be a premier member to take the courses. A premier member is someone who pays $5 a month or more donation. It's $60 a year. And then you have access to the consent to government course. The other course is free. Well, you don't have to be a premier member to get it. That's the civil course. You have to be that. And we don't want anybody to, we don't want to help anyone become a committee man who's not going to become educated. It'd be a wrongdoing for us to do that to begin with. And it'd be a wrongdoing for the person who doesn't know the Constitution to do that. So that's how we settle up.
Because I'm taking the civics course, the free courses. I had an automatic, but my credit card, they changed it because you know the bank I have, so maybe that's probably why I'm not there. So I probably have to restart.
If you're already given $5 a month or more, you should be able to get in, and if not, get a hold of Jan and he'll help you. But you can also go to your, if you go to the website and you go to, goodness, where is that? It's My Account. If you click on My Account.
Yeah, because I'm already inside and I'm already signed in. Because okay. I've been a member, you know. And then, but it would, the problem is with the buttons. I'm not sure if he set it up like that because I'm not, you know, donating monthly. It will not open up the county because I'm in New York and I'm trying to, you know, at least I wasn't rejected because it didn't even go through because the, you know, the menu that drops down, it will not even let me, it won't drop down to put the county. So that, there is a problem.
You're able to get to the form, but the form's not working?
It's not worth. It's like for me, I'm in New York, and I have to put the county. The zip code goes in, but the county doesn't have a drop down menu. It won't open. So okay. I'm not even rejected for any reason, but it's not working.
Okay. Did you select the state first? Because there is no. You can't drop the county down until you drop the state. Let me get up there. I'm in this page right now. Let me just. Choose my neighborhood. Let's see, New York. I'll click New York. Okay, now select the county. The counties are there. Okay, you're in New York and you selected it. You went to select the county?
Yeah, and it won't open. I don't know when I open the county.
Okay, I don't know why that is. Put in a paper for technical support. If you see on the top left hand side, on the top part of our website, towards the right side, right under abuse of courts, you'll see tech support.
Yeah, I'm on New York, but the county drop down will not open at all.
Right. Well, let Carl know at tech support. Click on tech support. And when you click on tech support, you'll get a page and it'll get you some information. And you can put down your name, your email, your phone, and your issue, and you submit it. And when Carl gets a chance, he'll go take a look at it and see what he could do to fix that problem.
Okay, so I'm going to put a link on the, I'll probably grab the link from the page so he can go straight to it.
Yeah, again, you know, tech support is, if you look at our blue bar on the top, okay, and you come across towards the right side, but right below the blue bar, you'll see tech support, my account, to unsubscribe, add event, calendar, and log in and log out. So all that's under there.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I have another, I'm understanding, but I have another, something, a comment. I don't know if you know anything about Phil McConnell.
Who? McConnell?
Phil McConnell. Yeah.
You're talking about congressman?
No. This guy, he has a YouTube channel. His name is Phil McConnell.
Oh, okay.
The other one is Mitch McConnell. So he has a channel, Able Danger, and then he actually gets in touch with President Trump. He has a backdoor, because he used to be a pilot or something, Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
He has a channel. And he was talking about, like last month, that he has a lot of, you know, intel about the Department of Justice is going to be completely revamped. So I'm not sure if it's you or they have something in the back. I will send you the video where he talked about that. And I was like, is that because of the National Liberty Alliance? Because he says there's a lot of stuff that's going to be revamped here in a few, like within this year or next year.
Well, look at it has to happen that way. You know, whether they have us in mind or not, I don't know, but it has to happen that way because, you see, there's so much corruption in the Department of Justice. There's so much corruption even in a lot of our agencies. And Trump is there to do a job, and he's a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't do half a job. It either gets done or it doesn't. And that's my attitude too. You know, either we get the whole law, or we'll just have to fight for it because we're not taking half the law. You know, justice doesn't come to some of the people; it comes to all of the people. Our rights, we don't get half a right; we get all of our rights. So it's all or nothing. It's what is just and right. Period. End of subject. And they understand that. Trump understands that. And a lot of the people around him, I see them changing their language a little bit. They've used Democrat, democracy, numerous times. And the last few months, I heard, what's her name? I can't think of her name. Kellyanne or something like that.
Yes.
Now, she's come out lately, and she said democracy, and then she added Republican or constitutional democracy. So they're beginning to learn, at least in that, in the administration, they're learning. Whether they're learning from us or someone else, it doesn't matter, as long as they're learning. But, somebody has to teach the people, train the people to be able to take the positions to consent to their government, and we're the only ones out there doing that. So I don't know of anyone else doing what we're doing.
Yes. And actually, Phil, I'll send you a link to that video because it's interesting. He has a backdoor to President Trump.
If you could send us a link and maybe even make contact with him concerning us and then make the connection with Jan, so if you can kind of make that connection, the original connection, and get that information to Jan and make that connection between Jan and that person, and then they can schedule me to go on to the program for an interview, however they want to do it. And anybody that can do that for any of these programs, that's what we need to do to get the message out. We need to get onto their programs.
Because he actually, I'm not sure if you know that. They have, there's a guy whose name is David Strait. And he's actually almost doing exactly what you're doing. And actually what he's requesting of people at this point, I was watching a class from him. He probably gave a class in Arkansas. It's one of them traveling people that teach things.
Mm-hmm.
So he was he's a Navy SEAL, and he has a lot of credentials. You know, he was deep into intelligence officer in the Navy SEALs.
Uh-huh.
So now what he's from Oregon. Actually, he's the one who got Bundy. What's his name? Ammon Bundy out.
Ammon Bundy, yep.
With a lot of paperwork he did, and then he was requesting people. I really don't know his contact. I'll find out the contact information. But he was requesting people that are running into these crooked judges with crooked cases, because he's actually taking these judges and they're taking, he's taking them to jail or something. He is the one who has taken a lot of people to Gitmo already. He says he's taken like 3,000 people to Gitmo himself because he has indicted them and that's where they're going,
mm-hmm.
himself. So I will send you the links of the video so you can listen to him. I was thinking, if it was you, through whom is he going to revamp all this Department of Justice? I mean, I don't know. These guys have actually, I'm going to send you, these guys also went to the Congress. And they requested, you know, the Bar Association, you know, we all know that they're from England, that they're not even from this country. They're like corporations. So right now, these guys have went to Congress to request that the people could represent themselves. Like when they go to court, you know, the judges say that you cannot represent yourself, that you have to have a lawyer. So they created this e-clause. It's almost like the counterpart of the Bar Association, an e-clause. It was approved by Congress. So I will send you that link also so we can listen to it. So I'm not sure why there's so many groups, like, you know, the National Liberty Alliance. It's a lot of scattered people instead of just getting together and sort of like they did in the Declaration of Independence, get together and iron everything out. Because it seems like there's a lot of little groups here and there, like Annabon Ritz, and there's like another group doing a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. If everybody's so isolated that we don't know what everybody else is doing, and then, you know, it's like, you know.
Well, I'm wondering if somehow he's connected to in a different way. Look, a lot of people don't realize this, but Jeff Sessions did an amazing job. His job, he indicted a lot of people, and that whole stage has been set. And a lot of the people, the lower level people, that may not make the news that they've been arrested. There's a lot of people that have been arrested. And I've heard that some people were sent to Gitmo, and I don't know what the status is of that. I don't know what truth is there, but I heard that they have. And so he may have been involved with that somehow. Maybe he was on the grand jury somehow that was, you know, indicting people. Or maybe he was involved somehow in the protection or the organizing of some part of that process somehow. I don't know. So I don't know who the person is. But clearly they're not doing what we're doing, though. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
These guys, because I think the national emergency allows for UCMJ. You know that he had an executive order? So he said he'd taken a lot of people under UCMJ, because he's military, under UCMJ. Because I know the Department of Justice have taken, he says, he gives numbers. I'll send you the video so you can hear him when he's talking. He says the Department of Justice with all, I don't know, 4,000 lawyers and stuff like whatever, have only indicted 300 people to Gitmo, 300 and change to Gitmo. And he by himself, he has taken like 3,000 people to Gitmo. So he's doing it under UCMJ. So I don't know. I know he has, actually there is a case. He has a case right here on this, what is the name of the psychiatric center over here in Saratoga County? This is, you know, what they, right up here, in New Hampton, I think it is, right up here. He said there is like he has a case right here. A lieutenant commander is in jail because, you know, he was doing, he was, you know, trying to be the, not man on the land, but he was doing everything, you know, like we're doing, like a sovereign. But then the judge got a hold of them, and then they, you know, they psychologically examined him two times, and they sent him to that facility, like, you know, for crazy people. And then, so they're trying to give him medication because you go in there like sane, but they give you so much medication because they want to prove that you're, you know, not competent.
Right.
Lieutenant.
Well, that's what Russia and China and many other countries have done, and now it seems that they've been doing that in the United States, and they've been doing it for quite some time, as a matter of fact. But
horrible. So I will send you the links to the so you can
send it to Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org, and he'll get it to me, and I'm interested in seeing that. And again, anybody that wants to make contact with other people who are doing, you know, maybe YouTube or some kind of a radio program or whatever, and who are interested in interviewing someone like us, You know, if you can make the connection and get that connection to Jan, and then Jan will book the timing, you know?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I will see. I really don't have any contact with actually, this guy here wrote a letter. He said he wanted people to visit him. And then he would have a backdoor to David Straits, which would be great because then, you know, people will get together right there because I wanted to go and see visit him right down the street. And I'm like, okay, make a connection with this back door. Because they have a back, these guys that I'm talking about, they have a back door. They're military and veterans, and they're, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff that we don't know. But these guys have made videos and talking about this stuff that is really happening. I mean, this guy talks about he's done it. And he's got a very, you know, a whole bunch of credentials. But I will send the video to, you say, Jan, these three things that I'm going to send you.
And, yeah, just send it to Jan at NationalLibertyAlliance.org or mail, M-A-I-L at NationalLibertyAlliance.org. So.
Okay, I will do so. So I will, you know, get off the phone because I think I took too long. All right, Jan, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Okay, let's take our next caller. It looks like Suzanne from North Carolina. You got the mic?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to comment a couple of things. One is exactly what that previous gal, I didn't catch her name, was speaking about, was David Straits.
David Straits is the name on YouTube?
David Straits is who she's referencing, and I've been listening to a bunch of his videos. And they're also on all of his information is on myhousehallbecalled.com, which is another group that is basically just been promoting coming out of her, basically. But anyway, what I was commenting about is David said he's been doing seminars since 1986, but that everything's really picked up in the last 2 years, especially since September of 2017, and that in the last couple of years he's gone to like hit over like 1,000 court cases, helped people, and he's having those people are having tremendous success. And as the previous gal was saying, that he's he met with Trump, he's super briefly, and that Trump had said, and he said, what can I ask him? And he said, you know, the census in 2018 was X number of people, and you would actually need 10,000 people over 10,000 people in the, you know, as representatives. And Trump said, yes, I know, we don't have a quorum, so that's why I passed some executive order for people to take back the country. So anyway, David Straits has been teaching, like, so one of the YouTube videos is him in Arkansas.
Yep.
And
I'm looking at some of it right now.
And that's September 6th that he was just there. And then September 21st, he was in Chicago. So this is a Chicago seminar. And but he was saying, for example, in Arkansas that they've been working with them and that they are doing away with the marriage license. And all you do is bring your Bible in and have it stamped or, I don't know, or show them or something like that. But there's a ton of really cool stuff happening, and it's been, as the previous gal was saying, and it's like all coming together. But one of the things that, so David Straits said to, he has like four different things to do to really be clear and with the public servants that were in charge, that were the authority. And but one of the things that he said and this goes back to a comment from like an hour ago when a guy was asking about that he had rescinded his voting registration. And mm-hmm. what David said is you actually do rescind your driver's license, or not your driver's license, your voter registration, but you can go in and once you have your status corrected, you can sign up. You just go in and tell them that you're here to vote as an electorial. And so you become, instead of being casting a vote that is a United States, a corporate employee, basically, of the United States.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the problems with all this stuff is that we are empowering them by acknowledging their authority and their meaning of words. And we take a different stance here, okay? We don't go into their sandbox, and we deny the meaning of words that they use. Citizen does not mean what they want it to mean. It means what it is.
I know that.
You know?
Yes, and actually David's doing the same thing. And but also,
let me just say a few things and then you can come back and talk to take it further on. But I want to just cover some of the things you spoke about. Let's take the license, for instance, okay? No one needs a license to drive, although if you drive without a license, you might find yourself in jail. And you shouldn't, but you do. But once we get to the other side, that doesn't belong there. But we do have a duty to make sure that people, you know, take some safety things. And I think the best way to deal with that is in schools. Look at, before a child graduates, part of their curriculum should be driving. Okay.
Marriage license.
Huh?
I have accidentally said driver's license, but I meant marriage license.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But you know, but again, a driver's license is necessary only if you're doing commercial driving, and that's acceptable.
Exactly.
And maybe if people want to get a good ID and get a state ID, that's fine, I guess. I guess motor vehicles could run that. I guess we'd have to think that out a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, as far as children, you know, growing up and then wanting to get their driver's license, they should be able to learn to drive in high school particularly. You know, I learned to drive in school, as a matter of fact. I went to a school. They were given the driver's ed, right. And so this should be a requirement for children in school. The other thing is how to handle a weapon, a rifle and a handgun. Children should be taught that in school, too. Of course, they should be taught a civics course and a constitutional course and American history course. And,
right.
You know, we have a course that combines all that together. And they should be teaching our children that. They should be teaching our children how to register for voting and how to become a committee man. If you're not a registered voter,
100%.
If you're not a registered voter and you're not belong to one of the two strong parties, you can't become a committee man.
I don't know about the committee man thing. I heard you speak on it today and some other previous nights, but the point is that you can be, instead of being, you can actually be a representative equal to the senators and House of Representatives versus being represented by those people and having your vote only count as a fraction. And the difference is you rescind your registration because voting, you don't, like, according to the initial Constitution, and you know this more than I do, you don't have to, you never had to sign up to register to vote. That was implemented probably in the night after, like, 1930.
Yeah, but I think registering to vote is an important thing because that gets into the grassroots. When you register to vote, hold on, when you register to vote, okay, that registry goes to your town, and the people in your town generally, a lot of us know each other, but, you know, people in the town have that list, and they know exactly where you live. They got your signature on file, and then you come in to take a vote, you know, they open that book, they flip it up, and you sign it, and then you go to make your vote, so on and so forth, but they know who you are, okay? And if they don't have a register, I mean, someone could come in and vote in this district, go to the next district, Well, you can have all the dead people voting and all the, you can have illegal aliens. Anybody can vote, you know. And so it does need to be controlled. I mean, I don't disagree with registering.
It's not a lack of control. It's actually you are your vote counts way more because you are part of the electoral.
I don't know what that means. I met someone once that was trying to tell me about this, and it just never made sense to me. I don't know what it means. Maybe they didn't explain it right. Maybe they couldn't explain it right. I don't know.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is I will it would be great for you to get a hold of David Strait.
Well, I'm going to take a look at his videos and see, you know, cause I already got him up on my page right now. I'm looking at him.
Okay.
And I'm going to listen to a few of them. I'm sure some of our national leadership will listen to a few of them, and we'll be able to comment and talk about it.
The September 6th one is 7 hours.
Wow.
And so it was long. It was a whole seminar, but it was My House Shall Be Called, the House of Prayer hosted it, and they changed the volume, so there's two different sets of it, but listen to the corrected volume, and there's three videos of that, but they're each couple hours. Anyway, the point is you can go to myhouseshallbecalled.com and then go to their offerings, and then you'll see a link to David Strait and some of his stuff. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to spread the word as quickly as possible to empower people. But what I'll do is I will research the electoral thing and tell you, and then somehow post on your website or send it to Jan. What's the best way? Like, if I find out information so I can share it with other people.
Well, get a hold of Jan.
Okay.
You know, Jan at National Liberty Alliance. If you got something that you want to share that you'd like to get it up, and he'll take it to the national group, and as long as it harmonizes with what we're doing and what we're teaching, we'll post it.
Okay, and then what I was going to say is if I wanted to get a hold of the gal that previously spoke or in other calls, is there any kind of like a membership?
Well, we do have a membership. It, you know, everybody comes in, they have a screen name, so they have a name that they use. It's not necessarily their name. It could be their first name. It could be their first name and last initial. Some people actually put their full name in there. And you know, we have a way for people to locate people within their counties. That lady that was on, you know, maybe if she wants to talk with you, maybe she'll come on next week and make an announcement.
Okay. Well,
me and tell us we can share her phone number with you, you know?
If the gal's still on, it's Suzanne, and I'm signed up to be a representative for Gaston County, North Carolina right now. So.
Okay. Do you want to give her your phone number or anything, or you don't want to do that?
I can do that. I just didn't know what
you're... Because if she's listening... Yeah, you can give your... If you want to give your phone number, you can give it. I can't give you hers. I mean, I got hers, but I can't give it to you.
Okay. 970-618-9254. And it's Suzanne.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's good to connect with other people, and it's good to even people that distance. Well, we organize across the nation, so it's good for distance too. But it's also very good to connect locally, grassroots in your county. So we encourage people getting together and talking and doing things. But you know, stick on the program. Stay focused on learning and you know, becoming whatever it is you're going to be—an administrator, or committee man, or both, or a supporter.
Mm-hmm. I am learning a lot. I mean, I've been learning a lot. But the other man that said that getting a present on YouTube, I mean, someone today just reminded me that YouTube is like, it takes away from the TV stations. They used to have a monopoly, and now anybody can post something. And like the gentleman spoke, you know, sometimes you get 50,000 views, which is pretty amazing. So So anyway, the point is that, yes, it is spreading, and there's several other groups that are teaching very similar stuff to you, and it'll be really cool to bring them all together.
Well, I'll look into this guy straight, and if you want to quiz me on him next week, you know, we can talk a little bit on what I think. But bear in mind, look, we look at what we're doing as being purist. Okay, we're trying to be as pure as possible, being constitutional, lawful, and lawful in the sense of natural law particularly, but fit into constitution, which is law also. And
right.
And we don't play the game with the commercial stuff and sending people papers and then, giving them a lien of some kind, a commercial lien without due process.
Yeah, any of that either.
We don't do any of that. We don't teach people to get rid of their driver's licenses, their social security, or the birth certificate. We acknowledge there's a problem with that. It needs to change, and we could discuss that when we get to the other side of things, you know. We don't teach people that, to claim to be the man on the land and the citizen means this. And, you know, we don't allow them to rob our language, the meaning of words. We don't allow them to rob our liberty and our constitution, because that's what they're doing. So I'd rather fight them, and this is the strategy of National Liberty Alliance, is to use the law to fight them, because
and
they are breaking the law every time they play this game, which changes the meanings of words and also creates certain things that, that people have to do in order to have liberty, you know, and we got to knock that out, and that's what we're trying to do.
There's a number of other groups that are on the exact same page as you, and one of the things that's so cool, what is exciting, and you see that when you listen to David's stuff, is he's just trying to keep it simple, so like a network marketing kind of thing. Everybody can go out, everybody can go out and say, hey, take life back, take the country back, kind of, without having to learn, 10 years of study to, take action.
We're just about out of time. We do have one other caller that I want to take, but let's pick this up next week if you want. I'm going to go listen to the audio, and I'm sure Jan and Gerard and a few others will, and they'll comment on it, I'm sure, and I'll take a look and see what I think and see, and then I can respond,
Sounds great.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay.
All right, let us take our last caller. It's a 919 area code. Give us your state and your first name.
Yes, my name is Richard. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay, how you doing, Richard?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
Well, doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you sound pretty good over there. I just wanted to come in this first time calling. I have listened a little bit before. I would simply, at this point, ask one question. And before I do, I'd like to also say that we've got to wise up. We've got to open our eyes. Even something as silly as this new opt-out thing that everybody's doing. If you opt out at all, you're admitting to being a part of it. So you don't have to opt out. You don't have to do this, as you said. You don't have to play in their sandbox. And I like that. But, I mainly wanted to ask you what direction are you mainly trying to take, and have you made any progress, and do you have any ideas for the people out here that might be able to follow any direction you've recently come up with?
Hey, well, are you reasonably new? Do you know about our committee man process and about the administrative process that we're creating that we're putting together for the judiciary and the committee man for the political side of things? Are you a little bit familiar with that, or
a
just
a little bit? A little bit, but I mean, you can throw it at me fast, like
I'll give you the quick picture, okay? And then you can go to our front page, and if you go through our front page very carefully, listening to all the audios and the video, shall I say, and also reading our page. By the time you get to the end of that, you'll know exactly what we're doing. But here's the big picture, sort of in a nutshell kind of a picture. We have to take back the courts. The courts are out of control. And we cannot have the fox, taking care of the hen house, so to speak. The judges should not have any connection with the jury at all. They're the tribunal. The people are the tribunal in a natural law court. Judges do not belong in that court. A magistrate belongs in that court, and a magistrate can make no judicial decisions. A magistrate just administrates the justice that's being applied in that court, signs the paper, puts the seal on it, keeps things moving, sort of like a traffic cop, and that's it. But the people, that's a people's court. Now, they've robbed the court from us. The judge controls the court. The grand jury is controlled by the prosecutor. He's going to get his ham sandwich, and that's an insult. It's an insult to me to make a statement like that, but that's the statement they made, that they can get an indictment as simple as a ham sandwich, okay? And that's a mockery on our justice system, and that shows us how corrupt they are. But the bottom line is this is the people's job. You also cannot. The people have no access to the grand jury at all. People should be able to go down to the courthouse in their county and request a meeting with the grand jury if they want to, and they should be able to get in to see them. You know, maybe it's a small problem. We want to try to set up an administration where four people whose job it is to administrate for that grand jury, okay, and the trial jury. They would orientate them, give them the basics, and prepare them for the job that's going to be at hand, whether they're going to be on the trial jury, or they're going to be on a grand jury. And they need to understand the authority that they have, that they're free, and that they have the power of nullification. They can deny any law that's thrown up there that they don't like. Okay, sometimes the law will apply to people. If it's a commercial situation, or a situation with someone that works for the government, or is in an agency or something, and they're in court for some reason. So they have that opportunity to deny it. But they don't know that. People don't know that. So we need to free the jury, give the jury a true understanding of their powers. And we could do that in a 6 to 8 hour orientation. You get one day to orientate the jury prior to them going to do their duty. And that's plenty of time to give them the principles because the laws of God is written in our hearts. So they already know right from wrong. They just need to understand what common law is and their power that they wield in that court, that they are the tribunal. They are the deciders. Okay? And so we got 3,000 counties, and we've organized across the United States. We have members in every state. We've visited every single county. Our membership has. We've laid the program out, put them in newspapers, and we've built a membership of just about 8,000 at this point over time. We've got over 1,000 people signed up to become administrators. We're pushing people to become committee men so that we can control the political process and get good people onto the ballot and understand how to control that by removing these people from power once they get in if they're in bad behavior. And bad behavior, again, is disobedience to the Constitution. They cannot come outside of their jurisdiction. They have no authority beyond that. And that's how we're going to take this nation back. With that, if we truly apply the Constitution, we have knowledge of the Constitution, we control the political process, we control the judicial process, that's government by consent, and we will not have politics anymore. We don't need we shouldn't need money for people to run for office. There's a better way. We have a plan for that, too. And if you're interested in that plan, you can ask me that next week, and I'll respond to that because it's kind of late right now. That's pretty much what we're doing is trying to empower the people at the grassroots level and connecting the committee men with the administrators.
Well, that sounds really good. It sounds like you guys have been really busy and glad to know you. I am a patriot and a veteran, Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans, by the way. And
well, amen to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. With that, we're going to close off for the evening. I appreciate everyone coming. Lord willing, we will be back next Monday. Do come and bring friends, and let's grow, and let's get involved. Let's take back this nation. Let's get rid of our ignorance to knowledge, and let's sign up to be committeemen. We need committeemen now. We need them to come in this coming year. We need to take it by four, take it by droves, and then bring this nation back to the proper political process that it should be without the politics. There's no need in our republic for politics, because politics, again, is just one group of people trying to get an edge over another group of people, and that's not what America is. It's not what our Constitution supports or lays out. As a matter of fact, it denies that kind of thinking. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming.